Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're broad bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
Corporate King.
If you hear my bag shuffling at any point, it's me getting my charger, so yeah, just let you know. Is this the start of the show? I assume.
The show started, yeah.
Alright. cool. Yeah, I've not real no real intro planned. Like, the only thing that's happened over the last week is I started playing Fall Guys, but I don't know if any of you ever have gone near that game.
I don't know what it is.
It's like a Takeshi's Castle type game with like 60 people all doing the same sort of obstacles.
Like outside?
Oh no, it's on PlayStation.
Oh.
You think he was just playing on his road? Like, what age do you think Keane is?
Well, I'll say, if someone set up a Takeshi's Castle on my road, I would be out there in a second.
I started playing. He thought he was just playing with his friends on his road. Like, what the fuck? On the green. Yeah, like I said, Katie's smart in her own right.
I just look at the broader picture. This is what I've been saying. I think outside the box.
But to be fair, if that was the case, you'd be a genius because nobody else saw it that way, but it's not the case. So there is. basically, I hate the game. I fucking hate it. Everyone loves it. I'm absolute shit at it. And yeah, basically, it's mad because there's like 60 people all trying to get into, like, say 40 people qualify, but 60 people all racing at one time, but you're all like shoulder to shoulder the entire time, like throwing each other off like off the obstacle course. Is mad. But yeah, if none of you played it, I don't know if there's anything worth talking about in wrestling or anything like that. Anybody have anything they want to mention?
Raw was sneaky good this week.
Oh fuck, I've got to watch it. Yeah.
There's a really good Ric Flair Randy Orton promo.
I'm actually gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
It was really good. Like, I didn't think Ric Flair could still do promos like that. Like, it was proper. And like, what it was I won't get into it because you're gonna watch it, but like, what it was, Ric Flair not trying to be the Nature Boy. It was Ric Flair being 70-year-old Ric Flair. Like, he literally did. The theme of the promo was, I'm not Ric Flair anymore. I'm just this now. And like, he actually acted. And it's like, I didn't think you still had that in you. Like, this is fucking like one of the best promos of the year. And Orton was great as well. So it was a great segment. They had Raw Underground again. I actually really enjoyed Raw this week again, like, yeah, in spite of myself. So yeah. Like, yeah.
Anyone else have any news over the week?
I didn't really watch wrestling. My friend has been sending me clips of Terry Funk in 2016 wrestling Eddie Kingston.
Solid.
That was great. Like, I really enjoyed that. That is literally the only wrestling I've watched this week.
Nice.
Does our guest have any news, any wrestling that was watched or anything like that?
Our special surprise guest.
Will I give them the microphone?
Do you want the microphone?
They're shaking their heads, so no, we're not gonna.
Will we get into the first question?
Are we gonna like stress us out for the first hour?
Right. At Kento CCFC, there's no actual, it's the same as always, I assume. There's no caption here, so I assume it's just one we keep, one we get rid of.
Okay.
And the running theme of this one is that nothing seems to be related for the most part.
So are we saying the ones we're keeping or getting rid of? Sorry, that was very aggressive.
That was very aggressive.
Keeping. I'll find that easier to say because I'll always go with the thing I like.
Okay, fair enough. Right. So we are keeping either...
Kendo says keep.
Okay, cool. Sami Jane or Sami D?
Oh.
Well, Sami Jane. I think that'd be such a laugh. I want to see the rematch with Sami and Katie. And I also want to see the trilogy with Sami and Raven Creed. So... I'm going to go with Sami Jane.
I'm keeping Sami D because if I keep Sami D, I get my title back. So there we go.
No, you would not get your title back. You have to win it back.
Yeah, it doesn't default. That's not how titles work. Like,
you don't go back to the person.
To be fair, I'm not even number one contender anymore. I'm like seventh or eighth. And there's only six girls wrestling in Ireland. So
there's been three women's wrestling matches and somehow you're bottom of the top 10. How's that happened?
Right.
I'm gonna go Sami D. I really want to see the thing where he's the the NLW champion in OTT and he wrestles all the, do you remember we were talking about
beats
a few
all
weeks
the contenders.
Ago? Yeah, he beats up all the contenders. I want to see that thing. That really sold me, so I'm gonna go Sami D.
Will I ask our guests if they have
do you have an opinion have an on this?
Guess who's back?
Hey!
Back again. Philly's back. Tell your friends. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? What a really unclimatic entrance. Look, there's only one man for the job, and that's Sammy D, the best pure wrestler in this country, if you ask me. Has the tools of every single need you need to be a professional wrestler. And plus he's one of my boys.
Okay.
Easy question for Phil. That's Phil, by the way. Like, if,
oh, yeah. I hope I assume you know that.
Yeah, I'd say people did. And, like, to be fair, we probably advertised that as, oh, Phil's on the show in the future.
Bad Blood or Badass Billy Gunn?
What's Bad Blood? Is this the Taylor Swift?
Oh, wait.
I thought it was Taylor Swift.
No,
album.
Pay-per-view.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he didn't specify.
No, because there's two Ds. It's Bad Blood.
Okay, I'm going to keep Billy Gunn because I just really like Billy Gunn.
No, I'm the opposite. I'm not a big Billy Gunn fan, and one of the earliest DVDs I ever had in wrestling is Bad Blood 03.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this is like a seminal pay-per-view for you.
So, like, other people might not give a shit or might not like the pay-per-view, but for me, it holds a special place in my heart. Triple H and Kevin Nash, Hell in the Cell. Good laugh.
I can't really remember much about Bad Blood, but I do remember the 1999 King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And I remember being a huge X-Pac fan at the time. I couldn't believe X-Pac got to the final. Told stupid bloody Billy Gunn ruined everything. Ruined it, he did. So I would obviously choose Bad Blood and erase that Billy Gunn lad from history.
Before the show a few weeks ago, we were playing like my summer playlist. So songs I always listen to in the summer that Spotify has collated. And apparently during the summer, I listened to I'm an Ass Man quite a lot. I didn't realize this and I don't remember actually doing so, but it's in the playlist. So it's there. So I'm going to have to go Billy Gunn just out of loyalty that I didn't know I had.
You've just further enforced like my point then, because like when I think of Bad Blood 03, that was a Trapped Headstrong, you know that song? Like it's one like the most 2003 WWE song ever. But like I wouldn't have been aware of it if we get rid of Bad Blood, so I'm gonna keep Bad Blood.
Fair.
Walking on Sunshine or Walker's Crisps?
Walking on Sunshine is a chill.
I'm more likely to listen to Walking on Sunshine than I am eat Walker's, you know what I mean? So and I'm perfectly like I'm not passionate about either of these things.
I am passionate about Walking on Sunshine. It's a bop. When you hear it, you're like, I'm happy now. I do feel like I'm walking on sunshine. So
I guess I'll keep the song. Like I just because I hate Walkers. I think they should be used as a doorstop rather than food.
The crisps are not an effective door stopping mechanism. Like that's not a thing that work. Like
I'm really uneducated on this point of view. Like I'd like to know what both sides of the argument are. So could you just bang out a chorus of that song just so I can
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I was waiting for you to ask. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and don't feel good.
Yeah.
Walker's Chris though have a song. Just saying. They do Gary Lineker though, so. Yeah, Gary. Good ads. Good ads.
Yeah, no. Okay, so we're all in agreement. Buttons or Nicky Butt?
Nicky Butt. Any day. We want to treble with him. Yeah. Nicky Butt.
Yeah, but like.
I've just decided Phil's answer.
Do you mean like chocolate buttons? Like, or just like buttons on your clothes?
No, buttons. Because buttons are a thing on Loblaws now since the.
Oh, well then. Yeah, I'm going to go chocolate buttons.
Okay.
Hope for the best. Hope we can get them without Nicky Butt.
Like we literally devote 4 weeks of the show to how much this show apparently appreciates buttons. So like.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot. I don't think Nicky Butt has it like to win this. But I'm going to vote for him.
I'm going to go buttons because imagine if I turned on them after pushing them all the way through that tournament.
You gave yourself nuclear heat for it. Like, now's not the time.
I'm going to go buttons too. Even just buttons on a shirt because they were more useful than Nicky Butt was to any trophy they won in 1999. In fact, I would actually even say chocolate buttons were more useful to Manchester United than Nicky Butt in 1999.
Nicky Butt has more troubles than the entire Man City squad.
McDonald's or James McLean?
Who's James McLean?
Oh man.
Well,
he's the Irish footballer who hates the poppy.
Oh, I
like,
do know.
Every year it's a big story about how much he hates the puppy. I don't know why people report this as news, where it's like, meanwhile, yes, James McClane is angry again.
Yeah, it's like, for a 10th year in a row, lads, shocking news.
What do you think about this, James McClane? I think it's fucking dead. He always gets out. Like, he always does a good promo for it. Like, he never lets you down. It's like, what do you think about this issue? It's a fucking disgrace. It's like, would he not just be like, just read what I said last year?
It's,
like,
it's mad. He's probably like my favorite footballer, but. The thing is, I'm thinking like from an like Irish perspective, I think he'll be there for the World Cup campaign maybe, but then that's it. Whereas like Chicken Selects, I mean, yeah, that's there for life. So you have to think long term about these things. I think that somebody will replace James McClane and they will probably be better. We've got a lot of good players coming through. McDonald's, you can't really replace it, can you? So
I literally had like better version of Chicken Selects before we.
Yeah, but that again, subjective though. You know what I mean? It might work for you, but.
In Buskers on the Ball, who could use your business right now, buy a 9 euro meal and head down anytime for 105 minutes.
Like, I'm gonna pick McDonald's because I did not realize how much I missed McDonald's until lockdown. I did not know how much McDonald's meant to me until the lockdown.
Did you pop for the Return of the Mac ad?
I haven't seen it.
Have you not?
No.
It's like Return of the Mac, and then it's all these families celebrating with the bags, like, because it's, you know, Return of the Mac.
Yeah. Oh, that was basically me and Phil coming home from the drive thru where our first McDonald's, like, we came home and his uncle and his mates there, and we had the big bag of McDonald's food. Hey, like, we queued for 30 minutes for that McDonald's, and I do not regret it.
It was, I am cynical about the ad, but then, like, the first time I got McDonald's breakfast delivered to me, I was like, I was really happy. So yeah,
I got emotional. I had my first Chicken Selects in 4 months, like the other week, and it was just wow.
It was real.
But then I'll probably get like when I see James McClane play for the first time in months for the Irish team, I'll probably feel the same way. Well, I'm still gonna go McDonald's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like to have a jokey vibe as well. Like, but I just feel like James McClane is like actually like bringing up real like political issues that Irish people suffer in the UK.
Yeah.
It's like Raheem Sterling gets racially abused and it's like it's a headline in Sky Sports News, but you know what I mean, that Paddy who got shouted at every week, like Sky Sports never covered it, and I was like, this is just Irish. I used to live in Manchester, like I know how the hardship was of being Irish over there. As I had black cousins, my cousins were all black, like, and like we hung around there, so we were like black Irish. Yeah. In a group, like, and the English did not like us at all. But like that's what James McClane is suffering every week because of the poppy stance. It's not that Richard Dunn suffered from it, because of the poppy stance, it just amplifies it. But I like, and I'm not, now I'm not getting into my joke away, I'm getting into my serious way, but like I think James McClane is a goddamn hero. Like, I really do. Like, I think he's been fighting the good fight for such a long time, and like I just don't think British UK broadcasters are giving him enough respect because it's just an Irish thing, like, you know what I mean? So it's not the creme de la creme, like, of like, you know, you have the, I don't want to say, how's it to be, what's the organization that suffer, that looks after minorities in the UK, BLMA or something like that.
Yeah, you think it'd be BLM, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. No, it's a natural organization for Sky Sports News. I can't remember the initials, but basically, like, second somebody is racially abused for their skin color, it's like, it's huge news. It has to be covered, like, kick it out. But James McClane got it every week for, like, years and years and years, and nothing was ever said.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it all counts. It's all racism. Mm. It's all, like, it's all stereotyping people, like, picking on him because of his, because of where he's born. Like, so James McClane's a hero to me. But still, I do love a fillet of fish. So.
Fillet of fish?
Yeah.
That's what you sacrifice James McClane for? Like, I didn't even know it would be the hero. Like, oh, for Chicken Selects.
Oh, you ruined that at the end. Like, it was a really good point. And then, like, you went
to
really
bother hate fillet of fish. Like.
Oh, I hate it. Like, what's the point? Like, what a waste. Yeah, like, and to be fair, I've never opened up a box and found an extra James McClane in there. So, like, yeah, it's McDonald's every day. Like, and if we did, I don't know if I'd welcome it. You know what I mean? Nothing against them, but it'd be like, what are you hiding in the box for, you little weirdo? Oh, this is the wrong day to wear my puppy. McDonald's.
So, Eminem or M&M's?
Oh my God, I hadn't listened to Eminem in years, and then I had friends over last week and we listened to him for 8 hours straight. Like, I hadn't listened to anything probably past like the Marshall Mathers LP. Like, I don't know, like, it's been a long time. He has songs with Ed Sheeran. Like,
what?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I haven't kept up with Eminem since, like...
I didn't even recognize him. He looks like a waxwork figure. Like, I was looking at a Spotify yeah. thing, and it looks like a waxwork figure that's had a beard applied to it. It's like, but you know what? Really enjoyed it. Thought it was really good. You know, I felt young again listening to Eminem.
Like, I haven't listened to an Eminem song that's been made after, like, 2010, but I also don't really eat M&M's. No, I don't hate M&M's. I just don't really... I never encountered them. So I'm probably going to keep M&M, but...
See, I do love M&M's as well. Like, I'm the kind of weirdo that goes to the M&M store when I go to London and stuff like that. And yeah, I did. I made him take a picture of me on the fake Abbey Road with the peanut M&M. So... And then, like, I do get irrationally angry when I can't get M&M's in the cinema. So I think I'll keep the chocolate M&M's. But what? Work in the conversation. This is what you taught me. You take a hard turn left at the end. So I got to take the M&M's.
I'm gonna go M&M. Like, he was like, I was like very close to dyeing my hair, to bleaching my hair in school.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Full, like, what's his name in 21 Jump Street? Full Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street.
I think that would suit you. I think you should really? Do it now.
You think so?
Yeah.
I've never lost like the dream, like, so I think I'm
behind you, my man.
I think like when Fight Factory comes back, like, I just come out and then I'm wearing a white shirt and a ring and then I'm just standing there and I'm like, oh yeah, and then I'll do a rap. People will love it. People will think it's great.
That'd be hip-hop.
Everyone loves your speeches, but
about, yeah, that's it. Exactly. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'll do a rap and about how I want to, like, kill my family, and I think it's going to go really well. I think it's the way to bring Fight Factory back.
Yeah, if you can bend around the BLM movement or something like that, yeah. Like,
we'll get in all of the issues. We'll get in all of the issues with me and my bleached hair, my overlong white shirt. This is the way it's coming back.
All the current affairs.
Yeah, that's it. Job done. Jumped on. I'm there. Eminem, 100 all day.
So are we all in agreement on that one?
I think that's good.
Guinea pig, or I don't know how to pronounce this country's name.
Papua New.
Say it again.
Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I know where it is. Like, I know it's near Australia and all that, but I don't know much about it. I don't know. Who do I go with? The country or the guinea pig?
Guinea pigs are cute and loyal, and I presume they're loyal. They don't well, you never
you sounded like you're an 8-year-old doing a school project. Guinea pigs are cute and loyal and
well, look, you never hear a news story about a guinea pig running away, do you? Like, no, therefore they are loyal.
Okay,
you heard about it from the people of Papua New Guinea, do you?
You did make it sound like the people of Papua New Guinea run away a lot.
they just do laps of the island. That's all they do.
That's not a thing. Please, for the one listener of Papua New Guinea, we apologize. Katie Harvey's opinions do not represent their thoughts on your beautiful country. I'm
Is
sure.
this where guinea pigs come from?
I don't think so, no. There's a country also called Guinea. So I'd say it's more likely that it comes from there, but I don't know, to be honest.
Okay.
I've never thought about it. You never, Kento makes a very good point that you never hear of a non-loyal Papua New Guinean. Have you ever heard of a Papua New Guinean who wasn't loyal?
He sold me. I'm going with Papua New Guinea.
I'd say they're the most loyal people in the world. Like, yeah. Those islanders love their land. Like,
yeah, that's it.
They'd be like the Fijians and stuff like that. They'd be like...
It's a beautiful land. I'd be loyal to it. I imagine. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I have an image of what I think it's like in my head and I don't know. And it's, I don't know.
I tell you what, bring your guinea out to the park there and let it free for a couple hours and see if it doesn't try to run away from you. Oh yeah, my guinea is very loyal. I have him trapped in this 2-foot cage.
I feel like you haven't given him the opportunity to test his loyalty there. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I'm going Papua New Guinea. I have a newfound appreciation.
Okay, there's three here. West Ham, West Brom, or West Wing? Oh, we can only keep one, can we?
Yeah. Wait, is West Wing the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm keeping that.
Okay.
I don't really like football and I love Rob Lowe, so.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's a logical answer.
I love football, and I'm still keeping the West Wing.
Yeah, I don't love either. Actually, Keane has made me love West Brom a lot more.
Darryl O'Shea. Probably agree. They might keep Callum Robinson. They're heavily linked with Shane Duffy. West Ham, in terms of Declan Rice, no, I'm keeping West Brom.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go West Brom as well. Like, I got to the final of the World Cup with Ireland being led by Callum Robinson, so I have a lot of time for him. You know what I mean? He's done me a solid. Like, he's put in a shift for me. So, like, I'm loyal to my boys, and Callum Robinson's one of them. So, yeah, West Brom all day.
Yeah, fair enough. And the final one, Kimberly, the wrestler, and then Kimberly, Mikado, or Coconut Cream.
I'm gonna go Mikado. Yeah, Mikado all day.
Wait, it's not all three compared to the one, no?
What?
No, you pick one to save.
One of the confectioneries. Not all three are like. It's not all just like a Jacob's brand.
Oh. No,
because he puts or coconut cream.
Yeah, so it's one out of four.
So it's one of them.
Oh my god! Then it's Mikado for me.
Mikado all day.
Yeah, Mikado.
Yeah. Based on my childhood,
yeah, I'm not into any of those biscuits. Kimberly's all right. So yeah, I suppose we'll go with that.
Bring the person over the biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you are basically saying that you'd kill somebody for a Mikado.
There are people I would kill for a Mikado.
Yeah, I'm not in the same boat because I don't know.
Mikados aren't even in like my top 20 biscuits.
Like, it's not killing someone, it's just not letting them live anymore. Like, I'm not actively, I'm standing over them with a knife and just not saving them. Oh, it's like, oh, there's a Mikado there and there's a person floating away. Oh, what do I save? Oh. Yeah, I'm strongly attached to the Mikado. I'm like, oh, I had to save one. Like, it's a moral dilemma. So.
I don't think I'm quite in the same boat, but you know what? That's all right. So, yeah, thank you for the question, Kendall. How long was that actually? Was anybody keeping track?
No.
I think we went through that actually all right, yeah, considering there's four of us.
It was fine.
At Rovers are back. Declan asks, if you could put celebrities in an ad or add celebrities to an ad, what ad would it be and what celebrities would it be?
that's a tongue twister. Celebrities to an ad or add celebrities to an ad, what ad would it be and what celebrities would it be?
You know when you're trying to hit the minimum word count on your essay. And you're right. I would add the following four footballers to the Pepsi ad that has Messi and Salah in it. Leanne Kiernan, Katie McCabe, Vivienne Miedema, am I pronouncing that right? Sorry, if not, and Alicia Lehman. I would love to see Debbie Keitel in a coffee ad. I would love to see Raven Creed in an ad for Knives. And the Shamrock Rovers football team. And the Shamrock Rovers football team in an ad advertising something
just
good.
Raven Creed being like, oh, I love knives. Buy a knife.
I just, in terms of football ads, that's the only thing I can really think of. You know, like, you ever see like Nike ads, like ads for football boots, and they're all doing like big flick ups and big like fancy rainbow flicks and volleys and all skills and shit. I want like a bang average footballer. I want like Kevin Long from Burnley to be the face of like football boots, or like, you know what I mean, like, or Pepsi or something like that. But I don't want to see him doing all these flicks or skills or tricks. I want to see him just a good stand and tackle. I could just fucking have it. You know what I mean? Just poof it up the pitch. You know what I mean?
That's like, yeah. You've actually got me thinking. I want to see Simon at a GG Media. Like, do you remember we had that little like three-a-side game before? I think it was Grapple Games, and he was just in goals the entire time. And he's just one of those people that like grabs the ball and bulldoze it. I want to see that, and then the end is just like, just do it.
We can make it from being part of. Average. Which is the majority of the, like, it would sell more stuff that way.
It's not even him just posing to the camera, it's just him bull-toeing it to nowhere. It's just a side angle, and it's just repeatedly just bull-toeing it. And then it's just like, that's my vote.
I'd love to see an ad about COVID-19 where like Tala gets shut down because of all the cases. Hey. And it's just Roberto Lopez of Rovers, formerly of Bose, just there. Trying to get back to the north side, back to us. We're just like, no, you made your choice, and it's just regrets.
Oh, brilliant!
You're not a fan of that ad, Katie. Do you make better?
I don't know. The perfect celebrity ad's already been made, and it was when Pierce Brosnan did the Sky ads. Like, they were perfection. You literally.
Solid.
Pierce Brosnan in more Sky ads.
I just want to see that continued.
Well, there you go, Declan. Thank you for the question. At Roscom Dan, I think this is the easiest question we've gotten today. Would you rather watch the best episode of a TV show you hate or the worst episode of a TV show you love? The latter. Worst episode of a TV show I love. Like, pick the worst episode of The Inbetweeners. Do you know what I mean? Pick the worst one.
It's still quality,
I'm still going to die laughing at it. You know what I mean? Like, more than I would say, like, the best episode of, like, The Big Bang Theory or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
For me, this is really easy, but I don't know. Do any of you disagree?
No, I'm in the same boat. Like, yeah, worst episode of a TV show you love. Because, like, there, like, a TV show... Like, if I hate a TV show, I hate a TV show. And, like, I can't stand it. So, like, I wouldn't be a fan of that at all.
Yeah, I'd be the same because, like, you like to spend time. I like spending time in worlds. Do you know what I mean? So, do you know, like, if I love a TV show, I like just hanging out with the characters. Do you know what I mean? So, like, they could, like, literally Mad Men. There were some, like, because it's an office drama, like, but there were some days where it was just, like, a normal day in the office and not much happened. There was just a bit of banter between all the lads and it was, like, I'm really okay with that being an hour of TV because I really like these people. Like, I like to be in worlds and I like to spend time in worlds. Like even Game of Thrones, like even when it was shit, I was like, I like just hanging out with these people and seeing what's going to happen. I like them just chatting about things like what it is to be a king or who's the leader or this or that. I like just Varys and Littlefinger. I could watch an hour of them just having the banter and just sparring against each other. Like, that's another easy one for me. I'm on the same side as everyone else. Worst episode TV show I love.
Whatever happened to Dan Manning's countdown? What was it counting down to? That's ended, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him yet. That must be in negative figures now at this stage. Isn't it? Where are you, Dan? Dan, can you hear me, Dan? Dan, where are you, Dan?
Poor Dan asked this question because just the three of us, like, didn't know who's going to be on the podcast.
And actually, the last thing that's in the chat, right, about the celebrity ad, Dan has wrote, Phil and a Eurogiant ad.
Oh. You are dead. You understand me? I'm going to find you. I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to end you. That's an excellent point of view there in the chat, Dan.
Well, but your answer to the question, are you the same as everyone else, or are you worst episode? Or
yeah, Dan, I agree with all three of your points.
Thank you for the question, Dan. Good luck. at Owen_Davis1, what are the most passive aggressive things you do in life? I sign off work emails by saying regards Owen. But for people in sections I don't like, I just sign off by saying Owen. Rick, this seems like a...
I've literally made I think I've made this exact tweet where it's, no, I'll use regards if I don't like someone. Or a kind regards.
Kind regards, yeah.
I'm like, if I really like them, I'm like, thanks a million. Kindest regards. I'm like, the best regards. All of the regards going to you, sir. Yeah.
My favorite thing is, as per my previous email, when someone's fucked up or they haven't read it, and I've clearly told you what I want or what I want you to do, and they've ignored it or misconstrued it, as per my previous email.
This is a total Katie question. Katie is the manager who wants to see a manager.
Yeah, I'm so passive aggressive through email. And sometimes I will write and rewrite emails in my head over and over again till I strike the exact tone of fear I want to send to the person.
My mate sends a group chat last night where it's like people with two A's, women with two A's in their names definitely practice their arguments in their head beforehand. I sense you literally said that's something you do. Now I know you don't have two A's in your name, but
I'll cut promos in the shower, like on daily interactions I've had where I'll never see that person again or this will never come up again, and I'll go through all in my head, but I feel better afterwards that I've got it out of my system.
You say like a promo, like, as per my previous email, brother.
that's Katie all over, though. She'll have the argument with them after the fact. They'll say their things, they'll separate. But I'd be more like, you're not leaving my vicinity until I win this argument. One of us are back in now. All right, but I'm not leaving here angry. Like, I'm leaving here like, this is going to be sorted now. Like, but Katie, like, it's like, right, well, sure, we'll talk about this later. And she's like, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. She gets so angry when you can see that she's riled up. I'm the same with Katie there with the regards thing. Like it's the same. It's regards, best regards, kind regards, even yours in sport, anything like. But my thing, my pet peeve is like if somebody annoys me or tries to pull rank on me, like particularly in my shoot job, I will put my signature on it. Like usually, if it's a nice reply, I'll be like, regards, Phil. And if it's not, oh, best regards, Phil. And like, he'll be like, if I don't like the personal client, I'll be like, regards, Phil Boyd, operation manager. And I'm like, full title, full everything. Like, you are dealing with the man here. Like,
do you know what I mean, gas, though? Like, if you made a misspelling there where they're like, he wrote that specifically. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, that's not like a sample email. Like, that's he made sure to write operations manager in there. It just undermines everything you've just done. There's a lot of good points in the chat. It's all about the hi or hey. That's a very good point, actually, as well. Like, it's like something you have to say. We need to be very careful because we were told, like, don't use hey. Like, now, kind of in the position I'm in now, they're like, don't use hey. It's unprofessional. It's too casual, blah, blah, blah. It's literally like these are actual, like, workplace talking points. Fording, or what is it? Jimmy with a power move here. You go, I'll sometimes use, I can't remember if I sent this already.
Yes, I do that as well, Jimmy. That is a great one.
Or forwarding on the initial email going, can you please update? Thanks. Or yeah, like what they're mad for at work is just FYI or reminder.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever corrected someone misspelling your name in an email? Have you?
I've corrected my gender a lot in email, where I've gotten a lot of like to sir or whatever when they're anonymously mailing a gym manager and they just presume that I'm a man, and I always correct them. Always.
I did it yesterday where someone was asking me for holiday time and they'd asked me already the day before and I told them, like, this is how you go get holiday time. And I just, I literally just forwarded on the reply I'd sent them and I was like, per your text. And then it was just like underneath the response I'd already given them. I don't think he was happy, but like, he shouldn't ask me twice.
Yeah, per your text. Like, I was going back to it, like, when I have a dispute with somebody on the phone, like, as per discussion over the phone earlier, yeah, like, it's like, and I get list out all the details that I told him.
Yeah, bullet point. Just like, following on.
Just
yeah,
in case you didn't understand me over the phone, like, even though you didn't agree with it, this is the way it works.
Yeah. I'll do that as well, where like, I'll like get someone to commit to something and then I'll be like, does that all sound good? Yeah. And then like, I'll send them an email afterwards with a bullet point. As per a discussion, here's what you've now committed to. And then I've just made them sign a contract by just having them go, yeah, that's grand.
I had it with the name though as well. Like, for some reason, everyone always confuses Phil with Paul. Like, I've never had any other response back. It's always, this could be like 3 or 4 emails in the thread. Like, hi, Paul. This is, and once I see that, I'm like, oh, you know what? That's the trigger for me. Like, because I'm like, it's filled up, boy.
It's like calling Bishop Brennan Len.
You've got me by my proper title, you little bollocks.
You're sending the email to Phil.Boyd, right? And I'm just like, my name is actually in the email you're sending it to. But you've decided to make it Paul. They don't get a response. I don't respond to it. That's it. Like, yeah, you've addressed this to a Paul, and I am not Paul. So, like, that doesn't get a response until they respond, like, 2 or 3 weeks later. And it's like, I haven't heard anything. And unless they mention my name, I just ignore. And if people say, oh, sorry, I actually had one person that said, sorry, I saw you address this to Paul. I was like, that's grand. I actually replied back to them saying, sorry, you mentioned Paul in the email. I assumed it wasn't for me. And like, you know what I mean? But it depends on them. It obviously depends on the person who's emailing, but that is my trigger now. Like, we could be having a proper constructive email, but if I see Paul, I'm like, and I don't mind this whole thing. I don't mind if somebody calls me Paul in person because I don't remember everyone else's name. Fine. All right. And I correct them. Like, actually, it's Phil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, grand, right? But when I see an email, I'm just like, it's like a trigger. It's like, because I've got time to like think about my response as well, or lack thereof.
I've got a guy at work and I think he's trying to do a power move on me. But like, he's really nice otherwise. So I think it'd be weird. I think he's just being dozy. But like, obviously, my shoot name is Jer. So, but he like keeps calling me Greg. But like, it's over. Like, he'll mix it up. Like, sometimes he'll call me Jer, but other times he'll just be like, call me Greg. And I'm like, but this is in like a Microsoft Teams meeting. And I'm like, today I'll just turn around and go, it's literally underneath my face. My name is underneath my face. It's like right there. Now, I don't mind. He's a nice guy. So I'm just kind of laughing it off. But like, yeah, it's proper power move stuff.
You look like a Greg though.
I do, don't I? Yeah, I always thought that. Especially with more blonde hair. Kendo got on the chat and said, Mr. 1 pound Paul Boyd. I always like, did you get a chance to look at as well? Yeah. featuring former pro wrestler Greg Nash. Fuck off. Oh, Greg Nash and Paul Boyd. Episode title. This is NXT Jobber Team written all over. We are in the prelims of the May of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Oh, brilliant.
Thank you for the question, Owen. At Nolanoid 4000, Jonathan asks, who would be the best Irish wrestlers to win these classic game shows? Crystal Mayes, Krypton Factor, Fort Boyard, Takeshi's Castle, Bullseye, Supermarket Sweep, and Nightmare. These are all, I know nothing about any of these besides Takeshi's Castle.
I know some of them. Crystal Maze, I loved. Fort Boyard, I fucking loved. That was a banging show.
Bullseye darts related.
Yeah, Supermarket Sweep Phil was like the best show. Bullseye.
I was going to say, Phil, would you consider yourself the best darts player of all the Irish wrestlers?
Yeah, I would, like, to be honest. Like, and I'd love if somebody in the Irish wrestling community, even the performers, told me to a dice player. So I'd love to be playing one of them. Like, nice. No, I'm head and shoulders ahead of everyone. Like,
I had a darts board in my room, but like there's probably more holes in the door than the board, so I wouldn't step up to that, don't worry. So yeah, who else? Right, so Krista Mays, who'd be good at that? So puzzle solving.
That's a team you need for that.
Okay, so you want like, yeah, so more physical, than hype.
What was it? Physical, skill,
mental.
What's it?
Who's a good team who have like different attributes?
The Midcard Mafia.
Midcard Mafia, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Midcard Mafia. The Krypton Factor, I don't know what that is.
No, me neither.
Fort Boyard, do you know that?
That's similar to Crystal Maze, except it takes place on like a castle, on like a little island, and I had your one Melinda Messenger on it. Remember her?
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
God, you suddenly remember it when I say Melinda Messenger. He used to run around without a bra on like every Saturday night.
But she did or Phil did. I don't know what's happening. The story.
I feel like you're really sucking me into that one. Like, she looked at me. She stuck the microphone in my face.
Yes, I do remember her. Oh, really? That was a pro move. Jesus.
I know how to play the game.
Per your previous comment.
Fort Boyard, that's another team type thing because they have like the different challenges on it. So like you'd need another like faction or team there of like 3, 4, 5 people. So
we're all thinking of Midcard Mafia, so we might as well just say
just put them in again. I mean, we could also have like more than hype more or hype. Like
Kings of the North.
I think maybe the Kings. Yeah, you need a trio at least, don't you? So
yeah,
that's the only three trios at the moment I can say. The Kings, Morden Hype, and
We stick Morden Hype in then.
Yeah,
I never thought it, like I'd have to like argue. We put Morden Hype in because we can't pick the Midcard Mafia twice.
I'd probably flip it though. I'd probably put Morden Hype in the Crystal Maze. Because and then like put the Midcard Mafia in with the kids show.
that actually works. Yeah, that makes total sense. Takeshi's Castle, Keen, this is something we were only talking about beforehand.
I don't know. I mean, the problem with Takeshi's Castle is that it's everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's every. You look at all the different like game modes. What the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But you know all the different challenges and shit.
Yeah.
Like there's so many. Like you have to be well versed at literally every single thing.
So who's versatile? Who's an all-purpose?
What I would do is I would let all the wrestlers go and take bets on who would get the furthest.
Oh,
I can tell you now the favorite would be, and I know this is me talking from experience when training and stuff, be Martin Stairs.
Ooh.
Yeah, that guy is like, he's, how would you say, he's flexible, but not just in like physical body, but like, if you put him in any position, like he somehow is able to do everything. Like, so I reckon he'd be the best to counter all the different challenges you have with Takeshi. Like,
well, nice. What, like, the thing is, like, with Takeshi's Castle and, like, going with, like, a winner is that, like, the opening round, it could be, like, the one where I have to run through the doors and some of the doors are fake. Like,
I think Martin Steers would know how to identify a fake door. I've always said that. I was just saying that about myself. Supermarket Sweep. So someone who's a quick shopper.
Debbie Keitel. Oh, shopping, man. Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she would smash that.
Nightmare. Do any of us know that?
I've never heard of it.
I don't know that one.
I'm literally thinking of the nights, like Paige's family. So no, I don't know that one. yeah.
All right. Well, that's it then. Thank you, Jonathan, for the question. At Clueless Nerd, Adam asks, are there any songs, theme songs, that always pop you no matter how many times you hear them? For me, the intro riff to Enter Sandman always gets me, and hearing If You Smell when the Rocks theme hits. I think we're all, on the count of three, will we all just say it on the count? Because I know we're all thinking the same thing, right? One, two, three. He's
Edge.
A man. Oh, okay. Fine. Okay. We all have creative differences. That's fine. You're going with Edge.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. He's got a good, like, theme. Like,
it is not
one of the best pops of my life was, like, the Royal Rumble. So, yeah. Maybe him for theme.
I know you crying is on the WWE Network now.
I know. Like, but I knew it was going to happen as well, right? I was thinking, like, when the Rumble was on, it's like, there's a good chance Edge is coming back, and there's a good chance you're going to cry in front of this room of people. But I just accepted my fate. I just knew it was going to happen.
Nice.
As for songs, oh, I'm a big music person, but, like, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, opens my favorite album, my favorite band in the entire world, like... Just nothing like getting you hyped like that song.
Theme song wise, right now there's one. Judas, Chris Jericho's theme. Every time it comes on in AEW, I'm like, ah, yes, yeah, just because I love the song. It's an absolute banger. And they always do stuff for it as well. Like, they'll have Sammy Guevara come out and sing it himself. It's amazing. Like, what they had before crowds had to go away. Like, it was amazing there, the crowds singing along every time. Like, I love something like that where there's an actual interaction with the song. Like, even the New Age Outlaws back in the day, that was deadly because the crowd used to sing half of it. Do you know what I mean? So, Judas for me at the moment would be the big song.
Do you know what I would say though about Judas that I do like is the fact that with AEW, a lot of people kind of have like kind of generic music, particularly if they're known for having music in WWE or something that they're heavily associated with. But even though Jericho had one of the best theme songs ever, it still feels like his own music. Well, because it is, obviously, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like he's lost anything with it.
And as mad as it is, like, also on an AEW now, Cody's theme song. Just because it's an absolute banger of a song. I hate Cody. Like, I do not like him as a wrestler, and I think he seems like a bit of a cunt. Personally, but when I hear his song, like, it's an absolute tune. Like, he's a decent taste of music. I won't take it away from him.
Inside scoop I heard is that actually Cody and Jericho both have clauses in the contract of AEW that no other performer can have a good theme song.
Right. Mad.
Yeah. you're not buying that one now.
Phil Scoops boy.
I'm listening to Judas at the moment. I don't even like watch AEW as much as I show, but like I'm actually finding myself like when I'm on my own, Judas in my mind.
Yeah,
like,
it's a great workout song. Yeah. It's a fucking savage workout
song. It's not when he's by himself. Like, last week, we were in bed trying to go asleep. And next thing I hear coming out of the phone, fucking Chris Jericho's entrance theme. And he serenaded me to sleep by singing Judas. And I was just like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's just a great song. Like, and I mean, like, we never listen to music in bed going to sleep. And I just, at that moment, he just had to put Judas on. I don't really understand it.
I'm as cold as November snow.
Last week as well, he was really drunk coming home one night and he kept singing Judas, right? We were in the car. I collected him from the pub. He sang Judas four times. Fair enough. He sang different lyrics every single time. By the fourth time, I was like, if you're going to sing it, just fucking learn the words.
My thing to the original question is probably, like, I know it's not a niche question, but like it's a niche answer. But it's The Undertaker. I don't know. When I was watching TV and you still hear that boom, like it still made you go home. And if you didn't know he was coming, like it was great. And the other one would have been like, I don't know, it could be anyone really, but even Jericho, like when he returned that time on Raw against The Miz, when everyone was talking about, like, we got an A-list celebrity coming back, like, and at The Miz showed up, and that was real disappointing. But then Jericho's music,
yes.
Like, that was like a real, like, oh my God, it's about to kick off. Like,
yeah, love it. Have we all answered?
Oh, yeah, we've all answered. Okay. Nice. Thank you for the question, Adam. At Wolf of the Borough, Jay asks, as Chris Jericho's fantastic Raw WWE debut, turned 21 and is now legally old enough to drink in the US. What's your favorite wrestling debut? Also, what is your most underwhelming? As a kid, I loved Taz's WWE debut, but was underwhelmed by DDP's and Cain Velasquez.
This one set me, like, I love thinking about this question. There is a debut that I hated at the time, but I've come to love it now that I'm a little bit older. And it was when the Radicals jumped from WWE or from WCW to WWE.
I see why you hated it.
Because I wasn't watching WWE at the time and they were four of my favorite wrestlers. And like, I actually remember the playground where my friend Dan, who had Sky at the time, came running and was like, oh my God, guess what happened? And he told me and I was devastated. I was like, what do you mean I have to watch your show? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't want to watch WWF. And like, I was devastated at the time, but now I can appreciate how fucking cool that debut was and how great it was for the lads.
I'm trying to think of that debut. They just showed up in the crowd, didn't they?
Yeah, they were just in the front row of one of the pay-per-views. Like, but it was like that outsiders thing where it's like, what are they doing?
Yeah,
because it was only two weeks after their contract ran out and nobody knew it ran out.
Yeah, that was deadly.
I remember that from a different point of view.
Okay.
I remember that as a WWF fan.
Yeah, I was
watching WCW.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are these nobodies? Why are these fucking four nobodies in the ring? Like, I can't remember who Eddie Guerrero frog splashed and dislocated his shoulder on, or elbow, whatever it was. But I was like, who are these, like, absolute nobodies coming into the ring? Like, it was a really underwhelming debut. Because I was like, I don't know, you guys. Like, but...
Interesting.
Yeah, like really, really.
I like that because, like, I saw stuff like that, and Taz's and Jericho's debut are two of mine because, like, I loved the feeling of who are these guys? And then JR's like, oh my God, it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Chris Jericho? Of course it is. Here's Chris Jericho. But I love, like, because I'm like, this is something new I can learn about and I can geek out about. So I used to get really excited, like, oh, these are now important people that I have to learn about. You know what I mean? So I really got that, but I like how you're brand loyal. That's very, and that's very on brand for you. Like, you're like, here are the fucking.
I know we're both brand loyal because, like, it's so funny to see that from two different perspectives. Yeah. Like, but like Popeyes, AJ Styles in the Royal Rumble is my favorite debut.
Yeah, that was one of my answers.
That's good.
Not mine, simply because we all knew it was coming. And this the problem.
No, we didn't.
I don't think you did.
No, everyone knew it was on the dirt sheets.
Like it was
on the dirt sheets. We all expected him.
It was spoken about and it was rumored, but like it was also he was on New Japan just like 2 weeks beforehand, and it was like to be at that night in the Royal Rumble match
number two.
Yeah, exactly. At the time, like four? Everything. I think he was actually three.
Oh, but like it was early.
It was one of those numbers. But like, yeah, like so at that point, I think it was three because they didn't do it with one of the first two, and it's like you never expect three to be. You know what I mean? Because they're like the first countdown, it'll be fine. Holy fucking shit!
No, but Joe, I love AJ Styles. It's just because the unfamiliar music and everybody figuring it out kind of at the same time, like, because apparently it flashed up on the screen, and we didn't get to see it because we just saw Roman Reigns' face, but like the fans got to see I Am Phenomenal and they all just went, oh fuck. And it's so
everyone
good
trying to be like you are yeah. I am
oh man, it is so, I know we talked about it last week, we had so many fucking theme songs. But in terms, I couldn't think of underwhelming debuts. I was trying to think about that. Like the August one warning springs to mind, but you know, that's iconic. You can't shoot on that. That's so underwhelming that it becomes overwhelming again. You know what I mean? Like a full
circle. It actually did overwhelm.
Any underwhelming debuts have happened since God was third. Like all these new lads on Raw. Like I'm just like, don't even know you.
Like, Retribution, like
guys who weren't even in NXT, like they just gone straight to Raw. Like, I don't know, there's like a feud happening between two Mexicans there, a few Mexicans. Who's the two lads going for? It was
the cruiserweight champion. I don't even know who that is.
Santos Escobar.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't have told you his name. Before
he was a big. Yeah, he was King Cuerno in Lucha Underground, but he's also like a big star in Mexico. He showed Del Fantasma, I think was his name. I'm not big into Mexican wrestling, though, to be honest.
What about Luke Harper and AEW? Ready on the one.
Yeah, because like especially because it was supposed to, the show that was the first week AEW had to do no crowd and it was in his hometown, like compared to what it should have been. Yeah, it was in Rochester, like, and they built it around that. That was when it was supposed to be, and then literally 2 days beforehand it was like,
Matt Hardy showing up in AEW.
That is a very good one because it was just him standing there being like, yeah, yeah.
Nah, I disagree. I disagree. Because like with no fans, I find it very hard to kind of like, you know, freak out over things that happen. But when Vanguard flew down and I was like, oh shit. I know, I'm right there for that. I love that one.
See, with that, I actually agree with that. And that might be my answer because like it was so rumored that like, and then you like all I could see is what it was supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, if Vanguard had showed up with the crowd would have went, ah! And then he would have just appeared and it would have been like, ah! But like, all you could notice was the crowd not being there. So you just heard Vanguard and you're like, ah! Like, there's a lawnmower on. It's like, this is really annoying. And then it's like, oh, it's Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's going to be on the second. Matt Hardy's on. This is Matt Hardy's debut. Matt Hardy, there's Matt Hardy. Yeah, yeah! And then no pop. Well,
that's the whole thing. Like, you saw him there standing his own. He was just like, delete.
And he did it for ages, like. It was like 5 minutes of him saying delete.
Yeah, it was so long. And all I could see was like, oh my God, if he's surrounded by people and they were all doing the same thing, this would be one of the best debuts ever. Like,
it's not a criticism of Matt Hardy. It's a shit situation. It's just... Yeah, it is. It was on the world. And look at him now. Like, did anyone see AEW last week, by the way? Oh, my God. Did you see the chair shot, though, with Sammy Guevara? Did you just not? Holy fuck. He was supposed to do... Okay, so it's not even a chair shot. He was supposed to get a gimmicked chair and throw it, like, sideways at Matt Hardy. Okay? Like, so he's, like, throwing the top of the chair supposed to hit him, like, straight in the face. Do you know what I mean? The problem was Sammy Guevara threw the wrong chair. He drew a real chair that way, like sideways, and it clocked Matt Hardy in the face. Matt Hardy was like the fucking one of the worst cuts you've ever seen in wrestling. You're like, this is not safe. This is not safe. This is not safe. He is in danger. I'm like, oh my God, he could die here. It was like genuinely like, because you saw the spot and you're like, that's really reckless. Like, that's next level reckless. And then it's like, oh, it was supposed to be a gimmick chair. And somehow, I still don't know how he would even gimmick that. But yeah, it was crazy. But that's what he's doing. And that's the most interesting thing he's done since the Stampede. Like, there's nothing. Like, even last week, like the start of that promo was he came out and he's like, I've listened to the fans and you guys just want me to be Matthew Hardy and you want me to just be myself. So I'm going to respect that. And he seemed like a jobber. And like, it was only that made it interesting.
Matthew Hardy is definitely a jobber.
Yeah.
Already in the ring, Matthew Hardy.
Yeah. And it's like, that's it. He was literally in the ring. I sign off on that.
For underwhelming, I'd go with, again, it's not really a complaint about AEW, but it's just the circumstances, the revival. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, again, there's no pop or anything. It's kind of, again, nothing you can do about it, but it's unfortunate. For really good debuts, I'm going to go with Kurt Angle's TNA debut. Just for the excitement in Don West's voice and, like, White TNA, and they're just like, oh, my God, he's here. You know what I mean? And they go crazy, and it's...
That's someone said that in the chat. Like, that's fucking awesome. And then when he headbutted Samoa Joe.
Yeah,
gave him a legit headbutt, and it was like, oh, it was so good. Because it's like, there are times where it's like, just fucking hit me. And that, like, they got the moment right there where it's like, yeah, dude, just fucking
White
headbutt.
White TNA and Don West just make it. Like, they're just, they are... so good at getting everything like hyped up. Do you know what I mean? I miss them so much. Like, really, really do.
A really good debut. And like, I'll criticize this guy a bit. Like, I'm not his number one fan, but for a good debut, Moxie in AEW, like, that made the company.
That made
the company. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that was fantastic. Like, that was, yeah. So that's definitely one up there for me.
The Keith Hanley mentioned one in the chat as well. The Nexus.
Yes.
Like, deadly. Like, that has to be one of the best
Retribution.
Debuts. Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Last week on SmackDown, did anyone see it? Where they're beating up
that
the ring.
So funny.
The chainsaw where they just tip off the ropes because they're like, they don't want it to bounce backwards into their face.
They have a hammer. It's like, do you know what? I'm gonna hit the ring. Got it.
I'm giving you the dressing of your life.
The funniest, like, we're like, Corey Graves, we're coming after you. And he's like,
But then they caught him. Like, they accidentally cornered him, and then they had to like make room for him to run away.
It's just the Nexus, but they didn't catch anyone or cause a huge amount of damage.
They just beat the faceless fans. That's the only very people that they beat.
That's
up.
That's the real upsetting part, though. And about like you think about those performers, like, this is my big break. I've been sitting in Florida waiting for this chance. Like, they're gonna put me under a mask, but at least I'm there. Like, you know, man, I've got a chance to show myself. Right. who did it really well? Like, you know what I mean? You know, I was saying the Radicals were very underwhelming. Like, I don't know how other people felt when they were queued in. But, like, I found Nexus really good because they were so vicious. They pulled the ring apart. Like, I didn't know any of the lads, but they were so, like, maybe I was a bit more aware about wrestling at the time, but, like, I was like, these lads are ripping the ring apart, like Daniel Bryan choking the ring announcer. It was
seeing the ring was something that we weren't used to in wrestling. So even just seeing the boards and stuff, you're like, this is fucking fresh.
These lads are going to town. They're destroying everything about kayfabe or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, but I watched the clip on Twitter when WWE shared it, I was like, it's all right, but like, you know, I mean, there's one point where one of the masked guys chases, I might have been SmackDown, but he chases all the guys up the ramp, up the ramp, and then the rest of the guys all leave, and he's coming back, obviously, to get back in the ring for the final shot, and like, there's seven lads running past him, and he's kind of just like, you know, sidestepping him and stuff like that. I'm like, well, it's caught on camera. I'm like,
hit the pole,
you know,
like,
you don't seem like this vicious man as well. Like, it's just out there to get everybody. Yeah. Like these guys are all running by. You're just going, oh, yeah.
It seems like you just want to attack the ring. It seems like you just really want to take it out on that ring and show what it is. You know what I mean? Like when you're throwing like a tantrum when you're a teenager and you're like, I'm not actually going to hit something, so I'm just going to hit my bed really hard.
Like even the lads though, I'm like, well, how did you not learn off the Nexus? How didn't you see what the Nexus did and thought like, this is a great way to introduce yourselves, but they did it so timid. It was like,
there was such a like an opportunity as well, because WWE now looks so different. Like, take down the fucking plexiglass. Do you know what I mean? Like, set up a gimmick. I know it's plexiglass is bulletproof, like, but like, set up a gimmick one way, you fuck someone through it, and then you're like, holy shit, that's bulletproof. You know, but it's a gimmick, it's plexiglass.
Bash it down with the crowbar.
Yeah.
Just destroy the place.
Yeah, it's the performance center. You can destroy all of it. Like, there's no, like, it's they have the money to rebuild. Like,
WWE has shitloads of money. Should he sack all those people?
That's it. The Mexus, someone called it, as in Mexus.
I don't think Eric Rowan is in the faction after seeing the height of them.
All like 5'5".
I thought one of them was massive, like on the first. Remember they were on Raw and they fucked the Molotov at like the power and all that. I could have sworn there was like a big character there, but no, they're all. No.
Buddy, how is Eric Rowan doing it these days?
I was just chilling, just waiting.
Has he been picked up anywhere or
White Factory? I hope, possibly.
Okay, if he hasn't been picked up anywhere reputable, he's always gonna home with us.
Hardy's return, yeah, that's definitely a good one. We have Roman, Rusev, Breeze, and Styles. I don't know if they're good or bad.
I'd say that's good. I'm throwing Sting into the good pile as well.
Oh, that was
Sting's
a great
actual debut.
Debut
was brilliant. Yeah.
Like WWE.
Yeah.
Where he stood on the ramp.
Yeah.
And he cost Team Authority. Unlucky dickheads.
Yeah,
I was so happy with that.
I suppose. Because the ramifications were serious. Yeah, okay.
It was just cool seeing Sting in WWE. It was something you legit never thought you'd see.
Yeah, true. There's loads. Yeah, we could keep. This is one of these questions that we could do an entire show on. That's like a team. We seem to be saying that every week for Jay's questions. Fantastic question, Jay. Thanks a million for that.
At Joe Stodge, which one of you can hold their breath the longest?
Now, hold on a second. I did a poll on this last night about who people thought like would be able to do it. Katie, I understand getting like loads of votes makes sense. Like, you're like a professional athlete and a personal trainer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that makes sense. Keen got more votes than me.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, he'll do it for 2 seconds and pass out. Like, Keen got like, Katie got like 48% of votes. Keen got 39. I got 13%. Why do people think like? Is it because like I'm a bit like overweight these days? Like, I put on a few COVID pounds, but like I'm not like completely. I go to the gym. I fucking meditate. I breathe constantly.
What these people don't know is that...
Oh, I've been smoking. Yeah, that makes sense.
What these people don't know is I went to my osteopath last week and she called me a mouth breather. So, like, apparently I don't have good breath. So this could be interesting.
Is that not an insult? You mouth breathers. Was that not a Bobby Heenan insult? You mouth breathers.
What's fantastic about this question this week is that you have a fourth person here now. So I can referee if we're just going to do it now.
You'll also have to commentate it, otherwise it'll be a very silent section.
Yeah,
well,
like, we're not all going to... Are we going to do it at the same time?
Oh, I thought we were.
Okay, well,
Phil can commentate.
Phil, you go on commentary. Yeah, okay, fair enough. right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're here at the bottom of the ninth, and we got three players left. They're all preparing themselves softly. They're trying to...
softly! This is what's going to decide who pops
softly,
up.
Gently softly,
preparing.
Softly injecting all that air into their lungs. And your amount of three players look nervous, but they're all set. Ladies and gentlemen, are we all set to go?
Yes.
It's
yes.
The hold your breath final.
Can I, like, put my hands on my face?
Absolutely not.
Whatever you asked there was a no.
We got Keane. We got Rick Nash. We got Katie Harvey. Ladies and gentlemen, on the count of three, are you ready? I want to see a big breath in and no breaths out. On...
I won't be able to see you breathe in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you ready? 3, 2, 1. Breathe in! And Keane is...
Keane and Katie broke their crap line. Instantly. Okay. Can we...
we'll just cut that... We'll just cut that part out. Okay, can we reset? Is the American accent putting you off?
No, I got this.
Okay, are you all ready? Deep breath in. 3, 2, 1, and hold. Excellent work here. Now we got all of it. Katie Harvey.
Keegan!
Yes!
Rick Nash,
yes!
Rick Nash,
I told
the
world!
Champion
I
the
told
World
him.
Series. Brett Holler here at the Low Blows. He takes the championship away.
I told the world.
I just thought about what I'm doing as a 31-year-old with my life. I'm holding my breath on a podcast while Phil pretends to be an American baseball commentator. I don't know what went wrong.
Well, I was like, if no one else laughs, I think I've got an alright chance here. And
then just this is an audio medium as well. Well, I told the world. You all doubted me, guys. 13% they gave me.
It might be less now because I voted for myself. Just.
Yeah, I just checked the time there. Rick Nash won it with. Holding his breath for 2.7 seconds. 2.7 seconds. That's the result of the race.
Record shattering.
Jimmy, there's been longer silences in other parts of the podcast.
Someone called Phil. Like they were talking about Phil's American accent, and then Jonathan said more like Canadian evangelist. Oh, brilliant. Someone said, thank Christ, FFPW has a good commentary team. Sex Ferguson on comms. Oh, brilliant. Well, I told the world.
Well, thank you for that, Joel. That was an experience. At Scott_Aspel, what's one event in world history you'd wish to go back and witness yourself and one you'd wish to change? Right. So I actually answered this, yeah. The first one, the one I'd want to witness is Italia 90, because nice. most of world history is like people kind of killing each other in front of you, which probably wouldn't be the best crack, you know what I mean? But there's no downside to being there for Italia 90. Mm. But in terms of things that change, and this is something I thought about a lot, because I wouldn't, like, fuck with the timeline it's possibly not a good idea.
Yeah.
But still, I'd go back 100 years ago, right? Roughly 100 years ago, 1910s, I couldn't tell you what year exactly, and I'd go to Serbia, yeah? And basically, there's a certain person whose name I can't remember, but I'd Google it before I left, obviously. And I'd go up to him, and I'd just be like, oh, no way, man, how are you getting on? And he'd be a bit kind of flustered, probably being like, do you mind? Like, I'm in the middle of something. It's like, Serbia, some place, isn't it? It's like, could you please get my way? Like, I'm busy. It's like, I'm from the future. It's like, no, I don't care. This is really important. It's like, no, are you into football? Don't care. I'm in the middle of something really important. It's like, 100 years from now, Nemanja Vidic is going to show up and you're going to love him. He's a beast. I don't care. I don't fucking care. And then hopefully, the more I waffle and waffle and waffle, Franz Ferdinand safely makes his way to wherever it is he wants to go.
Oh.
And World War One doesn't start.
Oh!
Took a turn that I wasn't expecting.
Well, I mean, something else would probably have started. That's my point. Like, you can't really change history that much. Like, for example, if you killed Hitler, another Hitler probably would have come along and could have been better at, you know, wars and stuff. So, I don't know. I'm just going to, and I think with World War One, there's a lot of like like, you wouldn't have World War II without World War One. You wouldn't have, like, it's kind of like a chain, you know what I mean? So if you go back to World War One and stop Franz Ferdinand from being killed, I mean, who knows?
Like, it would be weird if they had a World War II without a World War One. They're like, oh, we're in the middle of World War II. Why is it two?
There
wasn't the first one. And then it's like, oh, yeah, no.
I would argue.
Why?
World War One was not the start of wars. Like, it was like that man has been warring for ages. Like, so, like, that, even though we've titled it as World War One, like, there were so many other wars that, like, were like Napoleon. Napoleon warred against Napoleon did what the Nazis did. Like, Napoleon tried to conquer all of Europe. There's been a war ever since. Like, the world hasn't had no war. Like,
yeah, no peacetime.
Yeah,
there's never been a time where there's been global world peace. I totally get what you're saying. I think the reason that that's considered a world war is because it was fought, like, on every corner of the world, whereas, like, wars tended to be regionalized for a period of time. Even if it's Napoleon or the Romans or the British, like, at wars, they're at wars, like, the British are fighting in India, you know what I mean, or the Falklands War in Argentina. It's not happening at six different places at once. So I think that's why. Well, no, you're totally right in what you're saying. There's never been. I did think about this, and there's one that I find quite interesting that I thought about that. The more I think about it, the more I like it. Because here's the thing, I can see, like, if I want to watch Martin Luther King's speech, I can go on YouTube right now. Do you know what I mean? If I want to watch, for some reason, JFK get shot, I can find video of that. You know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff I can see. I don't want to go to the beaches on Normandy for D-Day, because that's horrific. Like, even watching Saving Private Ryan is a bit much for me. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't want to see any of those atrocities. One thing I do want to be there for, because I'm trying to think, what would there be an advantage to being there? And it's like, you're a normal person. You're like, you're just in, you're in among the other people. So when would that be interesting? And then I thought of a period in Irish history, a very famous period that I'd love to be a part of, because I'd want to be in the street to listen to what people are saying at the time. And that's the Easter Rising 1916. And the reason for that is because at the time, and this isn't something that we hear this much about, but, like, at the time, they weren't popular when they did that. You know what I mean? They were seen as radicals when they did that. Because it was like a lot of Irish people were just getting on with their day-to-day lives. It's like, people tend not to care about politics when they have a family to look after. They're like, I have this kid and my job is to keep him alive, and that's my priority, and I don't really have time for this. So they were seen as radicals, and it was only when they were martyred after that, it was only when the British soldiers shot them, that it showed up what the British were actually like. They showed their true colour, so to speak, and that spurred people. So I'd love to be a part of that and listen to people's reactions to them, and then also see, like, the double turn, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to hear how people flipped on, like, over, because that happened, like, in a very short space of time. So people went from, these are fucking lunatics, like, to, in a week, we need to revolt against the British. You know what I mean? The entire country flipped 180 degrees within the course of a week. That'd be something I would love to be there for, because I just think that'd be fascinating. Like,
yeah, that is actually a really interesting one. Mm. Like, because that was supposed to be a countrywide revolution, but it got seriously botched because they found out that the Irish organizers forged a note from Dublin Castle to Owen McNeill, who ran the Irish forces. It was supposed to be ran on the Saturday or Sunday, but they forged a letter to get him to agree to do it. He found out it was forged and pulled soldiers all over the country. So that's why there's only, like, a tiny skirmish in Wexford and then Dublin. Yeah, that would actually be a deadly one, because, like, there's so many moving parts to it. But yeah, I love this question. I love history. Like, I'm a little nerd about it. So, like, I had loads of different thoughts for this. I don't know if you're watching The Umbrella Academy, but the second season is, like, very on brand for this kind of question.
Okay.
So you have to be careful of the timeline, you know, time travel. I believe that's real. So I would probably change something that I don't think would change the timeline that much, and I would change the Titanic. As in, like, slow them down.
Like, but then you don't get the Celine Dion song. Like,
yeah, but you get, like, 1,000 lives. Yeah, you don't get that horrific, massive tragedy.
They wouldn't still be here, and I get the Celine Dion memes.
That's actually a solid answer.
It is a good one, yeah.
It's hard to go back. No, because it's so hard to go back to history and change. That's what I was thinking. Like, what do I change? You know what I mean? That doesn't, like, affect everything else or make things worse. Like, I mean, surely, yeah, if you prevent Titanic from happening, it's not going
to... Unless someone survived who turned out to be a bastard. That's the only thing I can think of that would mess up the timeline super badly.
Hitler times four.
Like, if you take the Titanic film, I suppose Calden Hockley survived, so he was the worst in the film. But you know what I mean? Like, unless someone survived, I don't think it would change the timeline negatively. I think it can only be a positive change of the timeline.
The bastards are the most likely to survive in the Titanic.
Yeah.
So, like, it's... Yeah, the people who would survive, like, who wouldn't have then would have been the poor people who are the least likely to wreak havoc on the entire world because they have the least amount of power.
Yeah, they just want to go start a new life. They just want to find some land, you know? Like, so I changed that. And the one thing I wish I could be there for is tearing down the Berlin Wall because that just looked like an absolute sesh.
Imagine you were like, because I want to change it. No, do you know what? I really like walls.
Singing David Hasselhoff, having some German beers, having a bit of a party. Like, all the footage you see of that looks deadly. Like, that's a proper, like, celebration moment in history.
Yeah. So. There's a few good suggestions in the chat. Hold on, sorry. I want to go back up for this, get all them in. There's an unfortunate typo in the question. Yeah, he originally put, and whiteness yourself. Fix the facilities at Saipan so Moni Hole Roy can't disappear. Ireland's best chance of winning the World Cup. Why are you trying to start a civil war here? Pity his manager sent him on, and then it gets into the whole Saipan thing. We'll ignore that. 1916 is the best Radicals debut. So, Keith said, would you not be on the other side, you big tan? Kento said, should we stop the famine? Yeah, actually, you probably should. Like, to be fair,
single boy history. There's so many atrocities. Like,
yeah, there's loads. If we stop the Titanic, does Leo DiCaprio still become a star? You're messing with the timeline, Kate. Well, I mean, you're messing with the timeline.
Again, Leo,
Celine Dion, Leonardo DiCaprio. Think of all these celebrities who lose out.
He still becomes a star. He does. He was already a star before Titanic. He's in loads of great films.
He just doesn't
become a heartthrob. Like, he was in Romeo and Juliet before Titanic.
What about Kate Winslet? Think of all these celebrities you're affecting, Katie.
By saving the poor people locked in steerage on the Titanic.
If we stop the famine, does America get built and are we as globally loved? Well, like, yeah, America was there in the 1800s.
It's unanswerable now. Like any small change, even seconds, like, changes the history. Like, it's a ripple effect. Like, like we're saying,
but like, maybe if Courage had actually ran that show, we wouldn't have COVID. Courage or COVID? There's your next one, Kento.
Okay, maybe that's a bit. Talk about the Titanic there. Like, what? Like, how many people died in the Titanic? 2,000?
Yeah.
1,000? So, like, let's say that 1,000 people all survived. They all got to America. Let's say that 1,000 people all had kids. Let's say there was 2,000 kids. Let's say 20 of them decide to come back to Ireland, where they started from. Let's say, of that 20, one of them decide to start to drive, and one of them ran over my grandmother accidentally. Like, you know what I mean? You wouldn't know what.
That is actually mad, yeah.
But, like, you wouldn't know what the repercussions of saving those 1,000 people would have done, because what their lives, like, they would have reproduced, they would have created kids, grandkids. What would their grandkids sort of done? Would their grandkids have turned out to be a psychopath and, like, started World War III?
That's what he said when you're a god. Hitler times four.
But that's what I mean. Like, I'd never mess around with the timeline the slightest.
Or what about the positives? What if they came back to Ireland and became really good footballers and joined the Irish soccer team and then Ireland had a good team?
Kento has said that in the chat. Kento said, we stopped the famine, population stays at 6 million, fast forward a century and we win Italia 90. It's like, there you go.
Timeline fix.
Another football related one. EMS says, give Ramos a smack to prevent him dislocating Salah's arm, and Liverpool have 7 Champions League trophies. Ugh, I know. Jay Dunhue says, put something decent in Rowan's cage. Again, like, what if that, like, how do we know that that doesn't change everything? Like, how do we know Donald Trump is, like, hasn't been impeached if that's the case? We don't know the butterfly effect. Do you know what I'd love to see? I know they did a movie on it that was kind of similar, but I'd love if they could build something that not even, like, do you ever see Devs, or do you ever hear that TV show? It's really good. It's about, like, being able to use predictions to be able to see the past. Like, so you use predictions for the future, and how the theory is that all of life is predetermined. So you can predict what's going to happen in the future if you can get enough data on people and so on. It's a technological type thing. And then you're able to go back to the past and you're able to actually play out the past. You can hear what Jesus Christ sounded like and so on. But I'd love if you did a similar thing, if you're able to experiment on, if you changed one tiny thing, what would the world look like today? Do you know what I mean? Like, say we just were able to, like, just experiment and be like, we get rid of the famine and then Phil just disappears from this table. Like, Back to the Future shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that shit. We're veering into stoner talk here. But, yeah, no, it's fascinating. This is a great question.
Yeah, fuck. Thanks for the question, Scott. At Spudino90, Chris asks, 1 million euro, but once a month for the rest of your life, one meal you eat at random will taste like the food you hate the most. So if you hate the taste of fish more than anything, you could bite a chicken select and it will taste like fish. And you have to finish the meal. Oh, yeah, oh, I actually didn't see that until now. You have to finish the meal. It's a calendar month, and same rule as the previous pants shitting question. If it happened on the 1st of the 1st, you know you're safe till February. If it's the last day of the month, you know it's happening that day, but that's the extent of your control of it. I don't take the money.
Yeah, I'll just take the meal, thanks.
For me, it's just like, I already eat very few foods as it is, and I'm very easily like psyched out of foods. Like if I have like a yogurt, yeah, and it's gone off or like something's, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't like it for whatever reason. Like I won't go near yogurt then for like a year, like, you know what I mean? It fucks with me too much. I'm not gonna take the money.
That's an interesting one. A lot of people are saying in the chat they think it's easy and they take it.
No, I think so. I think I would take it.
Okay.
Because like foods I hate don't make me feel sick, so it would just be more like a discomfort finishing the meal rather than like, oh, this is, you know, really affected me. So I think I'd be okay. Like fish is a good example because I hate fish, but I think for €1 million I could eat one fish meal a month.
Yeah, like the thing that the variable here is, it just food you hate, or is it like if you're allergic to peanuts, is it going to be peanuts? Do you know what I mean?
It's just your most hated.
Yeah, if it's just the tasting, here's the thing, taste is acquired. Do you know what I mean? If you eat the same thing, even if you hate it every day, if you eat it every day for 3 weeks, you'll end up liking it.
No way, I don't buy that at all.
Like, yeah, did you never hear the phrase acquired taste? That's what that means.
Guinness is an acquired taste.
I thought yeah. Acquired taste. Yeah, is just, I agree. People say when something's shit.
No, that's how you sarcastically use it, but that's what it means. Like you build up a tolerance for things. So it's like, for example, like if you really like chicken, but you go on say a heavy protein diet and you have to eat like 4 chicken breast fillets a day, then like you don't even taste it anymore because it's just, you're so used to it. You know what I mean?
I understand that.
Your palate changes and just gets used to it. And then eventually, like, or if you don't have pizza for weeks and that's your favorite food, and then you have it, like, for the first time in months, you're going to taste it a lot more because it's new.
Yeah, but if I hate tomatoes, right, and I can't even go near them, I'm getting sick, I'm not going to magically like them because I've forced them to myself for 3 months.
You would.
Nah, this is, you know what, I'm with Kate on this. This science is bullshit, man. I don't buy that at all.
Like, yeah, okay, so so this is a real fun question. If you're celiac, this is the thing, like, if it actually is a sickness, then it's kind of different to just hating it. Courgettes are sick, this is bollocks, Rick. I'm a texture kind of guy. If it's just flavor, I'm all good, but if the texture changes, then I don't think I would be able to actually stomach the food. Gherkins, now essential.
Texture changes it for me as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See,
does the texture change?
If the texture changes, I have to rethink.
So, will taste like the food you hate the most? He specifically said taste.
Okay.
I still couldn't do it.
Yeah, I could. I think I'd be used to it within a while. I'd end up just liking a new food because I just have to.
I would like cry my choice. Tears with 5 euro notes. Yeah. If I was eating, I would just use them as a napkin.
Yeah, it's a meal. So, like, yeah, it's worth it. For once a month, like, for me, I found this easy. I was like, if it was every time, if you're substituting your favorite food and then you still have to eat it as regularly or something, then I'd be like, now you're asking a question. But for me, once a month, I have to have food I don't like. Yeah,
that'd actually be the opposite, because at least then I could psychologically prepare myself.
Talking to Eric.
Yeah?
You had the mic facing the opposite way.
at least I could, like, psychologically prepare myself then if it was the one you just said there. But because it's just a surprise, you know what I mean, I don't know when it's gonna happen. I just wouldn't eat. I'd never get McDonald's then, because I'd be too freaked out the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I do get the anxiety of it.
It's a personal thing completely. I fully expect everyone else to take the money.
No. I don't. There's no invalid arguments to this. That's why it's an interesting question. None of these 1 million, they're all subjective. And that's what makes it interesting. Because if you all thought the same, there'd be no point asking the question. In the chat, Ian Johnson's trolling you. He said he's just worried because Pringles might taste like some actual food.
I wasn't even thinking of Pringles. Yeah, that's another one. That's another one.
Imagine, like, what's your least favorite food? Like, what do you think of when you think this?
I'm thinking of tomatoes.
Right, so there's just a single Pringle in a box taste. It's just like a perfect tomato. Do you not like
would
tomato ketchup?
Would it be one Pringle or the whole tube? No, it'd be the whole tube, wouldn't it?
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, no way, not.
It really depends if you count Pringles as a substantial meal.
I don't think they get you into a bar, but...
It's like, your meal, one of your meals is going to taste like crap, like... Was Pringles a snack or is it a meal? And it depends on the person. And I feel like it might be a meal for you.
Oh, God. Interesting question, as always.
Yeah,
love
thank
this.
You for the question, Chris. At Sean McSarin, do you have any bad or embarrassing first day stories? I have a couple from school.
First day, by the way, not first dates.
Yeah, I dyed my hair during the summer before both third and fifth year, and the dye was still around when school started again. Both times I got merciless slagging from the lads, and my year head gave me strict warnings to get rid of it both times. And the first time the year head would make fun of it during class because it turned copper rather than purple. His jokes were actually gas, to be fair, but still. Anyone have any first day stories?
My first day of secondary school, I fell down the stairs into the canteen at lunchtime. To the surprise of absolutely no one, that's how I introduced myself to my new year.
Did everyone laugh at you?
Yeah. And what made it even worse is I was really tall going into secondary school, so they didn't have a uniform to fit me. So I was the only girl in the year not wearing a school uniform. I was wearing just like a wine hoodie because the uniform was wine and like a skirt that didn't fit me. And it was awful. I hated it. Like, it was so cringe.
I'm very bad at first days in general because it's not that I'm shy because I'm not like I can walk into a room and chat to anyone. But when I'm in a new situation like a job or school or something like that, I'm very quiet around people until I get to know them because I'm kind of getting a read on them and kind of seeing like, what do we have in common? Like, where will we meet in the middle? And I'm just kind of like, I'm watching them before I get to talk to them. So like I can be very... I can make bad first impressions as a result. One year in school, I thought that I was in summer camp for all the summer, so I didn't actually get to hang out with my mates from sixth class. This was in first year. So it was from sixth class to first year. And I assumed that everyone forgot who I was. And I just started walking around, like, not sure whether to talk to people. And then they're like, what are you doing? And then I'm like, oh, hey. And they're like, are you coming? I'm like, oh yeah, Grant, are we still friends? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, aww. Why wouldn't we be? But literally I spent like until 12 o'clock just walking around on my own, assuming that they just didn't recognize me. People I'd spent years of my life hanging out with. Like, I had a bad first day last weekend. So I just moved into a new apartment. So it was like moving in general is a horrible process if anyone's had to do it. And this was like, I had to pretty much move everything within one day. Not that I had to, but I wanted to have everything done within one day. So I'm like, if I just have one terrible, stressful, awful, taxing fucking day, because it's manual labor as well, like, then at least I'm done then. So we got through that, like had to bring a van across, all my fucking possessions. I even brought a wardrobe because like a few months ago when I was moving into the last place I was in, when I was moving back home, there wasn't a wardrobe in the room. So I spent like 300 quid on a wardrobe from IKEA. So I'm like, I built this wardrobe and spent 300 quid in it. I'm going to bring the wardrobe. Like, but I didn't think it through because like I'm on the first floor in an apartment block now. So we had to wheel. I felt so bad for the guy who was helping me move because like I was trying to do, like, I didn't want to rely on him doing everything, but like he was very manual labor guy. He's like, no, I can do it. It's fine. So he's trying to like get underneath doors. Like this wardrobe is a big ass wardrobe. He's trying to get underneath doors that are lower than the wardrobe. He basically had to squat while on a trolley, like down. He's basically squatting and then he's pushing a wardrobe, which is like fucking heavy with his shoulder. And I'm like, tell me how I can help. And he's like, there's nothing you can do. So we get it into a lift. And then, like, we're like, right, literally, the door is, like, when we go up this lift, it's the first door on the right, and then my room is the first door on the left when we walk in. So once we get through this lift, we're done, because the wardrobe was the last thing. And that's it. We both squeeze the wardrobe into the lift somehow, and then we both squeeze in on the other side ourselves, push the button, the door closes, and then it opens again. And then I'm like, what the fuck? So we keep pushing the button, and it keeps closing and opening again, and closing and opening again, and closing and opening again. And then eventually we go out. Like, I go out. I'm like, maybe we're above the weight limit. I'll walk up the stairs. So I go out, and then, like, it happens again. And then he goes out, and he's like, what the fuck? Like, maybe I'll go out. And then it happens again. And then the lift door closes, and the wardrobe's just stuck in the lift. And the lift is broken. And now this is the first day in a new apartment block, and I fucked up the lift. And literally, when whoever's going to open this, not only am I like, what am I going to do about the wardrobe? Like, someone's going to get to this eventually. Like, but, like, when they get to it, they're going to open it up and go, why is there a fucking wardrobe in here? And also, I'm just new in the building. And then there's a guy who walks in, sees all of this with his bike. He was obviously planning to go in the lift. And then I'm like, yeah, the lift broke. And he's like, for fuck's sake. And he has to pick up his bike and walk up the stairs, probably up five flights. Because of me, fucking newbie, trying to fit a wardrobe in a lift. I have to call an engineer. The lift is down for like 3 hours. He comes out at like 9:30 at night. He's not happy. And he's like, did you put that in? I was like, yeah, I did, yeah. And like, after moving, I'm still not fucking finished. I've moved all my stuff across Dublin, and then like eventually he gets it out, and I'm like, I still need to get rid of the wardrobe. But now the removals guy is gone, I'm on my own. So I've then to squat down and drag the fucking wardrobe from the lift by myself through like the bedroom, through the apartment into the bedroom. So yeah, the first day living in a new apartment, I've had better. is the short story.
Also, what I took from that story is, how did you manage to spend €300 on something from IKEA?
I don't know what it was. I can't remember the price. It could have been 150, but it wasn't cheap either way. Because I remember being like, "No, I'll invest because I'll keep this," and then I was like, "Why am I keeping?" All day Saturday, I was like, why am I keeping this? This is not, I should just bought a cheapy one. It would have been fine. It was only temporary. But yeah, it was a lot. It's grand now though.
Are you just resentful every time you look at the wardrobe now?
No, I've worked for that wardrobe. I'm enjoying it. I'm like, I look at that and I'm like, I have built you from the ground up. I remember when you were just fucking screws and a little Allen key.
You're putting promos on your wardrobe.
There's a mirror, so it happens. That's where I practice all my Five Factory speeches.
Do you have any first day stories, Phil?
Me personally, no. But did Katie ever tell you about the first time we got together? So like,
okay, I'm in. I'm so in.
So we're recently like single. I'm recently single, I should say. Right, like within like 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, is it
on the rebound?
I would have been nine years ago. You're looking at a 25-year-old Phil Boyd. Like, I'm in my prime. Like,
so in the wild oats.
I'm fresh out when I should. Like, I got options. You know what I mean? But so me and Kate inside, like, you know what I mean? We're texting in between a couple of people, like Justy's low as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Kate likes me, and then on your side it's like, I don't know, but like, geez, we're being very coy about it. And sure enough, we all have a Five Factory night out in Bray, right? Sure. And you know, we went for bowling, we went to a nightclub there, boom, me and Kate, you know, we were like
dorbs.
Magnets. And it's cool, like most relationships, that's how it starts.
Yeah, yeah.
So Katie, me, obviously super nervous. Like, and we're just like, keep drinking. And we keep taking Jägermeister, boom, 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 right? And we're just trying literally to drink the nerves away, right? Until Katie just disappears. Like, I mean, straight up, like, everything's going great to gone. Like Thanos just like
ghosted.
I'm looking down, there's this pile of dirt on the floor, and like, what's happened here? Like, right? I'm like, no clue. Katie left her number on my phone, which was an 11-digit phone number. So I was like, all right, okay. Right, this girl's ghosting me now. Like, this is like a one-nil thing. Like,
What's the best way of describing this?
So I was so incredibly drunk, I went downstairs to get sick in the bathroom, and I ran into a group of friends who I hadn't come with, who were just like, we are taking you away from this place. And they put me in a taxi home, and like, I didn't know any of this till the next day, till like, I got a bollocking message from one of our friends being like, why did you do that to Phil, you bitch? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Like that, like if you want to talk about first, that was a first. Like,
you ghosted them accidentally.
So,
like.
So your story of your first bad day is actually a bad impression I left on my first day on you. Okay, cool. Just so we're clear.
I'm resilient.
Look, it all ended happily ever after. Anyway.
Oh my God! Yes, it was Brian Backbar. How did you know?
I think like first days. I don't really remember, like, particularly, I know Sean mentioned, like, first day back in third year, back in fourth year. I don't really remember those first days. I do remember my first day, though, of, what you call it, my PLC. And I remember walking in thinking, like, I was so nervous because I was like, oh, it's going to be, like, 20, 30 people. I was sitting around, like, talking. I'm going to be, like, awkwardly kind of coming in, sort of, like, trying to talk to people and stuff. I walk in. There's like 7 people there. It turns out PLCs are small, like in terms of course numbers, and it's just dead silence. It's actually the most silent room I've ever entered in my entire life, ever, 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 ever. It was just like I could hear my own like thoughts. I could hear like I could hear myself exist. I just didn't wanna, like, I just remember like being so nervous and all that. And then like that was all like the sort of like normal people were there, and there was two characters that were on this course, I'll never forget, one of them came in, they both came in late, but one of them that came in late had this habit. Like, so pretend you're the teacher, right? You just go talk about anything at all,
right? I'm a teacher and I like teaching things. Do you like teaching?
True.
Okay. You're very agreeable. Are we having a good how's it?
No, you just keep going.
You okay?
So it's like, that's the thing. Like the teacher's lecturing the whole class with like, you know, the course and everything that's ahead. And it turns out that this is something we would have to deal with in every class for the duration of this year. Every time a teacher spoke or a lecturer spoke or talked about anything. Yes, true. Yes, true. Every sentence. I was like, am I hearing this? I don't know. But anyway, this lad, this isn't really the first day. This is more the first week. So we've had a few days where we've had this... our main teacher, his name's Adrian, right? And sound lad, he's, you know, done a couple of classes, and then on the last, it was like the Friday last class, and he turns to me and goes, what do you mean? Is that who? It's like Adrian, I'm studying radio, by the way, so we're all doing radio. It's like, is that Adrian, like, the phone show, like Adrian Kennedy? I'm like, no. It's like, yeah, it is. Like, no, it's not. It's like, they sound the exact same. Like, they sound nothing alike. They don't even look alike or sound alike or anything. They're just literally two lads called Adrian. I was like, oh my God, it definitely is. And he went up at the end of class, we're all leaving. He's like, oh my God, are you Adrian Kennedy? It was the nicest teacher I've ever had. He's just laughing. He's like, no, like that's not me. It's like, yeah, it is.
He's telling the things.
Can I tell you about those cringiest moments? Another cringe moment.
Go
like,
on.
So like, I think just after we start going out, like,
this is not a high point, dude.
like Fergus was still kind of like coming down to Bray and stuff like that. We still had school and Bray and all that. He popped down one time and like gave us a load of like New Japan merch, right? And he gave me this like blue fucking jacket, and it looked deadly, right? Like blue full on tracksuit. Like, I still have the tracksuit top at home. Like, and either way, I'm like, I'm working in town the next morning, so like I leave Katie's. I'm like on the dart from Bray. I'm going into town, right? And like, this thing is packed. It's like 8:30 in the morning. Everyone's commuting into town, right? And I'm kind of just sitting there, just minding my own business, right? I'm like, just kind of like. You know, I mean, I'm sitting there, I've got 3 people around me, and across, I've got 4 people on your seat, like, and you know, you just kind of mind your own business, you look across, you see something that's staring at you, it's like, weird, right? I ignore it, like, right, I'm just minding my own business again, just trying to get to work, you know, I'm tired, I might have been a little bit hungover, or whatever, like, and like, again, this kid still staring at me, you know, when I say kid, I mean, like, he's 18, 19, 20, like, he's not really a kid, but like,
I'm still just like, what is this guy at? Like, and I'm kind of like starting to glance over him more and more and then look away. All of a sudden, he stands up. Right? He stands up. I mean, this place is packed. Right? We're on a carriage. It's packed. Like, there's people standing all. He goes, excuse me, sir. And I'm wearing my New Japan jacket. Right? And he goes, excuse me, sir. Are you Prince Devin? And I mean, he announces it. Like, oh. We're not close. Like, I'm at the window. I'm at one window. He's at the other window.
Oh.
And he goes, excuse me, are you Prince Devitt? And I said, this guy's at the point. Two and two together came up with five. Sees me come from Bray. Jacket on, like I've got black hair, like, yeah, like
oh.
And I had to just turn it. I had to just kind of like get up and like, no. No, mate, no, not Prince. Like, just like, but like the heartbreak in him because he announced this as if like,
this is big for him.
You are Prince Devin.
Yeah, but like, this, like, you know when you'd announce a celebrity, like, oh my God, are you Nicki Minaj? Like, he was like proper giving it to celebrity.
The people
push.
On the dart are going to absolutely get this reference. They're going to love it.
They're all going to stop. They're all going to turn around and go, oh my God, we're in the midst of a celebrity.
Just start clapping.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yes, I am. Oh. But that was the cringiest moment. Like, what had to happen then was that obviously, like, I was just like, no, mate, it's not me. Like, and then he just kind of, oh, and then just sat down, turned away, and didn't look again. And I didn't look at him, but he had already made this announcement, so everyone around us.
Oh,
had
no. Poor guy.
You know, when you're just like, you're waiting for the stop to come, and you're just like, please. Please, everyone, just leave. Let's do our own thing now.
Oh, I can feel that cringe.
Amazing. Yeah, thank you for the question, Sean. At EMS Pro Wrestling, currently on holiday in Donegal. I left before Kildare was put on lockdown again. Not sure if I'll be able to get home this weekend. If you were to be stuck anywhere but home because of a lockdown, where would you want it to be?
I like Galway. Oh, no, wait. No, Tokyo. I love Japan. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Super place. Yeah. I would have said the same.
Yeah. It's just so nice. And it's just like a different way of life. And also as well, they're really good with coronavirus. Like they have New Japan shows like with fans right now. They announced the G1.
They were dealing with coronavirus before coronavirus came. Like you walk through Tokyo and people wearing face masks anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But even then, like they just made the non-believers believers. Like,
yeah. And they just have like that attitude anyway, that it's like, just in case I'm sick, I'm going to wear a face mask. Like they've always had that attitude, like just nice people. And yeah, they have New Japan back as well, so like, yeah, I'd totally be locked down in Japan.
I'd spoke about this before, but like I love Holland, so maybe there, like Eindhoven especially, like beautiful city over there. They just like have a very laid-back way of life. Everyone is really cool, really chill. Like I love just like sitting out on a city square with like a drink or a coffee and like unreal food. Like that's not what I was gonna say.
Everyone was thinking it, someone had to say.
But yeah, like I think for me, if it was within Ireland, I love Killarney. It's my favorite place in Ireland. It's just somewhere where you can go out walking, where you can like explore, where you're not just, your only source of entertainment isn't just going to a pub or going shopping, like, yes, where you can go out and see things and walk. So probably, yeah, Kerry or Holland.
Papua New Guinea, easily, man. Somewhere different, you know what I mean?
Oh, very loyal people there.
They are loyal. They're so loyal.
Do you have anywhere in mind?
Oh, Tokyo. Like, in hearing Katie talking about that, like, would have been like, I'd love to bring her to Tokyo. Now that's the thing I'd love to do. Like I was lucky to go there for a certain reason, but a holiday. Like, I went there with no money as well. Like
right. I
didn't experience Tokyo the way it should be. Like. But I'd love to go to Tokyo again with money. Like,
yeah.
And I loved it with no money, like starving, worrying about my next meal. And like, but if I went there with $2,000, like, we could just go wild. Like,
yeah.
I'd be all for it. Like.
And do you know what? Like, it's the type of place that as well, it's, you know what I mean? It's not like there's spectacular views and stuff to do. And it's very interesting if you like the culture and all that stuff. Like, it is, there is that. But it's not a session place. It's somewhere where you can just be. Do you know what I mean? It's nice to just be. I loved getting the train. I love like going around. I remember one day I always do this when I'm in a city, but I just got lost in the city. I just didn't follow a map. I was like, I've Google Maps on my phone, so I'll get back to where I'm going. But like, I'm just going to walk. And I ended up just in the most random places. I ended up in a religious ceremony and stuff like this. And then just seeing, I like seeing how like normal people live in completely different places.
I was in that religious ceremony, religious ceremony, but like,
where they clap and bow and throw money into
there. We had to carry a big, massive shrine on our shoulders. Yeah. And I was surrounded by a couple of American lads. Like, it was all us from the Sierra One Dojo with like a couple of local American lads. Like,
unreal.
And we had to carry this thing around town. It's fucking heavy. Like. Mm. And like, the worst part about it was the guys either side of me were just about an inch, maybe 2 inches higher than me. So when they bounced the thing, it bounced like it was resting on their shoulders, but it was bouncing on mine. And I was like, this is killing me, like, and I couldn't hack it. Like, I was like, guys, this is destroying me. Like, I'm out. And they were like, oh, come on, man, show your commitment. Like, you know what I mean? We're part of the culture. I'm like, stop bouncing the bleeding barn on his fucking shoulder. And like, I ended up getting real tick with one of the American lads. Like, I was
boy,
like,
right.
I'm like, I'm going to fight this. He was giving it the whole, like, I'm part of Japanese culture now, man. Like, I'm on my year break and, like, I'm Japanese now, yo. But the thing I'm most found about Tokyo is that there was no crime.
Yes.
They kept that door open. No, like, and I was freaked out the first few days. Like, I was like, what do you mean we're just keeping the door open? Like anyone come in, slit our throats in the middle of the night. Like, but they were all like, no, like, there's no crime.
Yeah.
Like, the accuser controls crime. If you do petty crime, the accuser will, like, chop your finger off.
They'll kill you. Like,
yeah. So, like, the accuser did the organized crime, but petty crime was non-existent. Like, so I actually think it was a really good system they had, like, that the accuser controlled all the crime syndicates. And, like, if anyone did any petty crimes, like thefts or robberies, the accuser would end them, like, as far as I was impressed, because, like, it was just such a safe place. It was the safest place I've ever been.
Like, you can walk around at, like, now it's not like a late night place, except for Roppongi, like, at the weekends, but
Roppongi,
like,
was that jam.
I barely remember. I did the Tokyo fucking pub crawl and I barely remember. I'll tell you some stories after, but like, that's the thing. You can walk around at 2 a.m. with your phone out. Like, you could have the most expensive phone. You could have, like, a big wad of cash in your hand and you wouldn't get robbed. Like, it's not a thing. You just don't have to be worried. And that's everywhere I read. Like, because I was traveling on my own, so I want to read up on what, like, to expect and blah, blah, blah. And that was the thing I read. It's like, you are fine in Japan. No matter what, you are fine. And you feel it there. You're like, oh, I'm in no danger whatsoever.
It's pretty sketchy at the start. And then the more I got there, the more I was there, the more I was like, yeah. Not that you would take the piss then. You'd be like, poking people and stuff like that. So, like, you can, yeah.
but they're so respectful that you wouldn't want it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember asking, like fucking police bow to you. The way even people bow and, like, do, like, that whole, I love that side of it where you bow to everyone, you show respect and you show deference. Yeah. Like, you ask fucking a policeman for directions and stuff and he starts bowing to you and just acting like no other policeman on the planet does. And he's like, oh, you have to go over here and you have to go over here. Is that okay with you? Is that okay? Will you be okay? Do you want help? Do you want this? Do you want that? You know, just like kind of caring and giving a shit. Like, it's amazing. It's just a different way of life. Like,
yeah, it's definitely a place I want to take you.
He's talking to me, by the way, in case any of you...
Yeah, just in case you weren't sure who he's looking at.
But yeah, thank you for the question.
Great question.
At Simpsons WWE, what's the worst pub you've ever been in? Fibbers doesn't count. I've been in the Blacker and Kulak once and seen a lad get knocked unconscious at the urinals for asking a fella for a smoke.
Yeah.
They also used to run this promotion... Welfare Wednesday, pint of lager, €3, vodka €3, whiskey €3, and
God.
I can't fucking read that. I'm sorry.
long neck bottles €3.
Right. Well, I have the social life of an agoraphobe. So, do any of you have any worse pubs that you think are a good answer to this?
Love this question.
It's kind of a tricky one though, because like if it's a bad pub, I just leave after a pint. Like I'm trying to think of anywhere where I just absolutely hated.
Why is Fibbers not included in this?
I like Fibbers.
Like, I'm not saying that I dislike it, but I'm just wondering why it's not considered, like, we can't vote for it. Like, that's what I want to know.
Is it because Fibbers is the worst or because it's the best?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, I asked him and he's like, it's an established kip. Everyone knows it's a kip. So,
yeah, but I love.
But I don't think it's the worst. That's the point, like, because it's like I'd like the right to vote for, but then choose not to.
I think the thing, and I think we probably all come from that, is that Fibbers. I used to go to Fibbers religiously every Wednesday, Thursday night, whatever it was, like, and
Thursday 3 hour drinks.
Yeah, you had a fucking great night. Like, that's why you went. It was a great night, great night, great night. But when you go there every week, you're gonna see shit. Like, you're gonna be like, "Whoa, this place!" Like, somebody's gonna get into a fight. Somebody's gonna start a fight with you. You're gonna have some of those nights on occasion that you're gonna be like, "Right, this is rough." Like, but that's the thing about Fibbers. Says, like, if you went on a once off to Fibbers, I don't know, especially back then, you would have one of the best nights of your life, barring some gobshite didn't get in that night and like start trouble. But like, Fibbers was a great place to drink. Like, it really was. Like, I had so much crack in Fibbers, like, and it was never there was never any trouble. Like, in comparison, trouble was like 2% of the time. Like,
and usually, like, it was just us squaring up to each other that was starting the trouble. So, like, it's grand if it's us. It's just when other people do it.
With Fibbers, though, it does share a beer garden with a pub that I do hate, the Living Room.
Oh, interesting. Controversial, perhaps.
I've only been there a few times. Not my scene, not my crowd. Didn't like the vibe, didn't like the music. I found it too packed, too crowded, too many people pushing and shoving. Like,
these days, that's a very bad thing. We look back at that, we're like, eh, crowds.
But I don't like that anyway. Yeah, like, I like a pub I can sit and talk in, little bit of music on, space, cheap drink. Like, I hate overcrowded pubs. I hate queuing at the bar. I detest it. Like, so yeah, maybe Living Room for me, and places like that that are just like.
The Living Room is, it depends when you're there. If you're there during a football match outside in the beer garden, like, if you're there during the Euros or something, it's amazing. If you're there, like, if you stay there, say it's a Saturday and you stay there for the 3 o'clock football games and you watch them, it's the best pub in the world. If you stay until 9 o'clock when, like, a bunch of underage people start coming in and you're like, and then it gets really scummy really fast, it's like, this is the worst pub in the world. It just depends on the time you're there.
Yeah, my local, not local, but the team I play for, Darts team, is called, plays out of Kennedy's, McGrath's, and Cabot. Right? Is that too personal now? Everyone knows where I'll be on the Wednesday.
Well, now you've told us the time as well.
There's going to be so many fans showing up on the Wednesday.
Are you Prince Devitt? Prince Devitt, they're going to advertise that now.
On a midweek, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like, if you go in there during the day, at night, it's a perfect pub, right? It's just a few hours. You got, like, you've got a load of space. You can throw your darts. No one bothers you. No one comes in. If you're there at the weekend, though, like, if you're there, you can go in there early Friday. If you're there late Thursday, Friday, Saturday, cokeheads, all the cokeheads around Cabra going into it. Like, it's just, it's at the places, right? Like, it's just, you don't want to be in it. Like, and you can see it when you're, I do see it sometimes because, like, we'll have a few pints. We'll throw starts and we'll have a few pints. The pints just, you know, when days just escalate and you're like, oh, we had a winner, like, and had a winner on the horses and we stayed there a bit longer, like, and then all of a sudden you're looking around yourself and you just see these young lads coming in. You're just like, and you can see them already getting, and you're almost ignoring them sometimes. You're like, you might say to yourself, I better get here. But, ah, no, have another round with the lads. We're having a good day. And then all of a sudden, like,
just turns. Yeah.
And you're just like, this place is a dump. Like, and like, that's the problem with the place. Like, I say this to my uncle and stuff. Like, I say, like, it's not a bad pub. It's a really good pub. Like, the staff are good. It just brings on a bad clientele at a certain point in time. And the blacker would be the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can walk in there. If you go there every week, like, the blacker is a, everyone always tells me the blacker is a bad spot. Like, I was in the blacker once, had a night out there. Great night. I actually had a super night. Like, now there was a bit of trouble, but it didn't involve me. But I was like, I had a great night, right? Somebody probably died. Right. I was like, I had a great night. I'm no.
I've had my fun, and that's all that matters.
I've got plans with the blacker. Suited me well. I was one and done. I was in and out, and like, it was no problem. But like, that's the thing with pubs. Like. If you go there too often, you'll start to see the bad side.
You notice it. Yeah.
But like, yeah.
For me, there's loads, like it's like Palace, like absolute, can be a nice pub, I've been there when it's not, but like as soon as, it's just the people that are attracted, it's just the fucking dregs, the people who didn't get into Coppers, the people who just didn't get into anywhere in Harcourt Street just went straight to Palace for a reason, and then they validated why they didn't get into all the other places, promptly, swiftly, constantly, like I've seen more women fight there than I have lads, like it's just, everyone just fights, it's just part of it, like. It's rough as fuck. But for me, when I think of this, I think local bars that attract the dregs of a place that people have to go to get a light drink. That's what I think of. And I then think of Blanche. And like the Blacker is one of these where it's like, that's the only place in that area that's open that late. So, but it also, like with that, it brings people who genuinely want a late drink. And then it brings people who are just like always on the drink and this is the only place serving. And then they're fucked. They're off their fucking head. So that's where the trouble comes from. For in Blanche, that's the Greyhound pub. It's an absolute...
In the old arts.
There's a lot of good ideas that have been done there in the past. Like, they do karaoke nights. They've done darts and tournaments and stuff like that. CDC?
Oh, CTD.
No.
It's the taxi men all drink out.
Right, okay, interesting. Like, yeah, they're, like this is the thing. There's a lot of positives to it and tried and tested, but... It just attracts the worst element of Blanche. It makes me hate Blanche every time I'm there. It's an absolute, like, fiend. I remember I got kicked out of that for getting started on and then said to someone, I'm like, mate, he's coked off his head. And the manager's like, what did he say? And I'm like, are you kicking me out for not being on coke? I'm like, are you, like, is that what's happening here? Like, I'm like, he just pushed me, like, he attacked me. And I'm telling you, he's coked off his head. I didn't retaliate in any way. And you're fucking me out because he's a regular. But, like, he's also a fucking junkie regular. I'm like, it's like, it's just such a different world. It's just so rough. It's so intense. I was once there at a karaoke night. And like, this is a Sunday night. This is relaxed points. This is like our school night. And I saw the DJ get in a fight with a punter. Like, the DJ got on the mic and he's like, listen, you, shut the fuck up. I'm the one here with the fucking microphone. I'm like, the employee is the aggressor in this situation. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. This is a farcical fucking situation that I'm sitting in now. I've never kind of had a fully positive experience. And the only enjoyment I can get out of it is when I'm with people who are also seeing it from the perspective that I'm seeing and seeing how it's an absolute shambles of a place. And then I can kind of enjoy it because I'm like, it's mad that this exists, isn't it? And that's the only time I can actually have a bit of fun in there. Otherwise, it's just fucking miserable. And again, it just makes me hate Blanche because it just brings out all the worst. They coalesce among that place. And I'd say, again, everyone in their local area probably has a place like that. That's just the one I'm familiar with. But there's a few good ones in the chat that are brought up. Fibbers is a kip. Fibbers is a kip, but it's our kip. That's fair enough. That's what a lot of people say. I kind of resent that. I don't like that about pubs because, like, I think they encourage people, like, who are into niche interests to settle for less. And they tell people and market it around, no, it's ours. It's ours. It's this. And it's like, you just didn't want to pay for a cleaner.
Yeah, but you see, that works on me. Like, I used to love a pub down in Kerry called Dirty Nelly's where they just didn't clean it. Like,
but they sell you on this romance angle when really it's just they're cheap.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to convince you that this is the lifestyle.
Or this is a marketing thing. Like, it could be a marketing thing. Like,
to not clean your jacks?
Well, yeah. Why not? Like, you're in this grungy bar. Like, are you, like, for all these people that don't want to go to these high-end, like, clean toilets. Like, but like, what is rock and roll like?
Yeah, like, but I see, I resent that. I don't feel that because, again, like, I know a lot of kind of rockers who'd hate that image because it was like they grew up getting bullied, getting called smelly rockers and so on. And it was like, it's because it has that negative connotation. They're like, just because I like rock music doesn't mean I'm fucking smelly, like, but there's that image that's like, connotation with it. And where it comes from is it's a niche interest. This is why I always was like with Low Blows. I always wanted it to be like, yeah, we're wrestling fans, but like, don't mean that that thinks that, don't think that that means we deserve to be treated like being shitty venues and to not have working facilities. And just like, just because we have a niche interest doesn't mean we shouldn't be in nice places and be comfortable. Like, sit down and watch a wrestling show and be just be comfortable, have couches, have place to sit. That's something that I feel very strongly about, and I think it's sold to people, and I think people buy into it. But I think the core of it, the people selling it, are inherently selfish and trying to save money, and it's just happened to catch on.
Yeah, maybe. But you also said, like, you talk about these rocker lads who like get stereotyped as being smelly and gringy and all this sort of stuff. Like have Fibber's not just bought into the whole like marketing thing, like, you're a rocker bar, so like all your clientele should be gringy and dirty. Like would Fibbers be the same if that toilet was immaculate? Would a like would it? Like let's be honest, like if it was
I think
Tivoli is a good example here.
Like literally, like I had to leave one time because like there was no working toilets.
like would the Tiv have been the same if it was clean?
Yeah, it's called the National Stadium, and we've had great nights there. Turns out.
Where would you stop the Fibbers, though? Like, all right, so we clean the toilets. Like, so what else do we clean? We clean the outside toilets.
Just don't have shit on the walls. Just don't have shit on the walls. Yeah. I'll have a good night without that shit on the walls.
Yeah, like, at what point then does it become too commercial that they're not suddenly a rock bar? Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
because that's the image that's been sold to you. Yeah, you've been told it because you have a niche interest that you deserve less. Because the problem is you have a niche interest, so there's not as much money to make it a clean thing. So what they've done is flipped that on its head, and they've marketed it and sold it as this is an image that this is you. This identifies who you are. You're dirty. You're filthy. You don't deserve better. When actually, it's just marketing has worked.
I went there for years, man. I never considered myself all right, I love rock music, but I never considered myself a rocker. Like, I would wear this same thing.
Yeah, same. I'd be the same.
And a t-shirt. Thing, yeah. Like, and it wouldn't be like a baggy jeans or anything. I went there every night, but I loved it. I loved the vibe of the place. Like, I didn't necessarily wear the flannel shirts and stuff like that. I didn't necessarily wear half the long
just hair. Just in and my ears a bit off.
Sorry. I didn't necessarily have the long hair, the flannel shirts, but I loved the vibe of the place. Like, I really did. I do think Fibbers has a vibe, like it has an essence, it has something that no other pub is offering. Like, and if you don't like it, go to the other pubs. Like, that would be my whole thing. But if you don't, if you like it, if you like that vibe, I'm not saying you have to like shit on the wall.
It adds character. But it's so much character.
I think there's a fine line. I think there's a fine line between character and like changing the place completely. Like, they could go in there and they could put a makeover in that toilet and they put a makeover on that bar, and then suddenly it wouldn't be Fibbers anymore, you know. And Fibber, for what they're doing, I don't know the owner's place, but maybe Fibbers, for what it is making them more money than it would be. They could invest 10 grand in improving all the facilities in that place and then lose clientele. Like, that could be the case.
I don't think having standards is going to make it lose clientele. I think you can keep a grungy atmosphere while having... Again, this isn't... I don't want to direct this to Fibbers because I have a lot... Again, it feels like we're directing this towards Fibbers, but it's more just it's our kip that is kind of... That's more what I took, rather than it be about Fibbers. Because again, I feel very similar to you about it. But I feel like you can have like working facilities and like still have a grungy underground kind of lifestyle. Do you know what I mean? Like, similar to the Tiv, like that would have been just as special if the Jacks had worked. It didn't make any OTD memories better because nobody could shit. You know what I mean? The five-man tag is still the five-man tag. It's just, if I needed to piss during that, I was fucked.
I can't believe this is the question that's made us go off the rails. So I'd just be like, no, this is what I believe. Like,
it's an interesting discussion.
But that was the case of the Tim supermarketing my job. Like, you know what I mean? When they say the piss break match and you can't piss, there is no piss break match.
Everyone is always on their feet because they need to piss. it's just nervous energy. it's just that is the enthusiasm of a full bladder. That was a great question. Oh, brilliant.
Well. to go back to what I was going to say about 15 minutes ago, National Stadium. National Stadium can't touch the Tivoli. Just my opinion. But anyway, we are now on to the final thing. It's not really a question, is it? It's also questions, technically, because you're making decisions.
Yeah.
The Crisps World Cup.
We are going to need your guys' help here, because usually there's three of us and we can solve everything easy, and that's probably for the best. But there could be draws in this, okay? So we're just going to do the first round. We're going to make it as quick as we can, and we're just going to give our votes.
Because you loved Chocolate Rose Bowl. We loved it so much that we thought we'd make it even better.
So guys in the chat, please do help along as we go through this, okay? We're going to go one by one. We're going to try go quick fire. So,
is that 32 crisps?
The 64 crisps.
64?
Yeah. 16 groups. I don't know why, but Keith...
How was there even 64 crisps?
but I guarantee we're going to find a few that we've left out. Okay, so Group A, we have Pub Bacon Fries against Kyo's Atlantic Salt and Irish Vinegar. This is easy for me. Bacon Fries.
Wait, is it not between all four or just between two?
No, it's between, we're going for two qualify out of each one.
Okay, bacon fries.
Yeah, I'll go bacon fries.
Bacon fries. It is. Keen, are you happy enough with that?
I have no opinion on that.
Right. Okay.
when the Pringles come, you know, I'm going to be fucking screeching.
snack A, Jack Sweet Chili, what? Versus O'Donnell's Irish Vinegar and Sea Salt.
Salt and vinegar ones.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, sure.
I like O'Donnell's head of kills, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna go O'Donnell's.
That wasn't the question, but alright.
Group B, Johnny Onion Rings, Walker, C&O, cheese and onion.
Oh, onion rings.
Wait, what was?
Walker's was cheese and onion.
Oh. You see.
Just to let Kane think about it a bit longer, I would have to put the Perry spicy onion rings.
No. So, Johnny Onion Rings versus Walker's cheese and onion. Right.
It's like football. You know how football works in the group stages.
Do you know how football works in the group stages?
Two qualifiers.
It's not.
Each group.
It's yeah. So it's not.
They all play each other.
But they all play each other, and we don't have time for that. So we're just doing straight knockout for this.
But hey, how about you just take your dumb opinion and.
Okay, lads. If it helps out, you were both wrong.
Right, Walker's cheese and onion.
Oh, I said onion rings.
Onion rings, Keen?
Yeah, I got onion rings.
I'm going to go onion rings as well. More character. And there's cheese and onion has done way more. Velvet Crunch, Thai Sweet Chili against Perry Spicy Onion Rings.
Perry Spicy Onion Rings.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well.
Onion rings again.
Right, okay, Perry.
You have to weed out the weaklings.
Yeah. The first round, there's a lot of like...
There is, yeah.
It's just got rid of Walker's cheese and onion. There's no more, like...
Oh, that's the upset. You have to have an upset.
That's Walker's... That's the flagship of Walker's, like
Phil just, is a tan. I didn't say it.
Gary
Lineker
is raging.
Kyo's of the cannabis farm. Kyo's of the cannabis farm that came out recently. Oh, that's actually made me rethink. This is a heavyweight matchup in the early rounds. Hula Hoops Ready Salted against Meanies.
Meanies.
Oh, because it's Ready Salted, I'm going to go. Oh, no, actually, I really like Hula Hoops. Oh, fuck. I don't know, actually. I don't know. You don't know. Really,
don't
really
wait for my opinion.
No, okay. I am. That's the thing. Cause I'm like,
What are you thinking, Phil?
I know what I'm thinking. I'm not giving him my opinion.
I don't know because I'm like Ready Salted. Hula Hoops are the only crisps that like actually are all right. Ready Salted. Most other crisps, I'm kind of like, this is shit. Why isn't it cheese and onion? But Hula Hoops, I can kind of accept it. You know what I mean?
Against Meanies.
Meanies. I think. I don't know who else is in this tournament.
Guys, get your votes in the chat.
I don't know who else is in this tournament. So, for all I know, there could be other flavors of Hula Hoops in there because he's going with flavors specifically with other crisps. So, I'm going to go with Meanies because there's only one Meanies. You know
yeah,
I mean? Meanies.
Meanies
for me. It's a clean sweep. Oh, Hula Hoops. That's the first big one to go, though.
Don't tell me that's not the only Hula Hoops.
Meanies. Hold on. Can we not include Meanies as a big one? Like, Meanies is a standalone.
Like, Meanies, yeah,
Meanies
is like
is still in it.
Meanies is a favorite. Meanies is going to be like
what? Like that's a big one. That's a, you were like
no, because I love hula hoops.
That's a big one to go.
No, hula hoops is a big one to go. Like that early.
I love hula hoops.
It is. It is. It is a big one.
It's the best Chris we put through so far, like by far.
Can I ask a quick question off the record?
Yeah.
Is
well, everything's on the record.
Hula hoops. Barbecue sitting there?
We'll find out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. Like that's why I eliminated Ready Solved It.
Tato Munchies, Tato Munchos, nacho cheese.
Me and you, kin. We're like a kin.
Against Perry's. I think this one's an easy one. Tato Muncho nacho cheese against Perry Hot Lips.
Hot Lips.
Hot Lips.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what's the options? Hot Lips.
Okay, group stage. So we have Pringles Paprika against Quavers.
Oh, I don't like either.
Yeah, I don't know. Pringles Paprika.
I prefer the concept of a Pringle, so I'm going to go Pringles Paprika.
I love a Pringles Paprika. That could win it.
You know, I mean, I'm going to rep Pringles anyway, so.
Right, okay. I would have gone for Quavers. I went through a mini phase. Of eating Quavers, but like, cause and I have no strong feelings towards Paprika. Waffles against Walker's PC. What's PC? Politically correct.
Prawn cocktail.
Oh!
Hang on! Don't pretend like that changes. The waffles are could win this entire thing.
I'm going Walker's.
I'm going Walker's.
Just because I said that about waffles.
No, it was nothing to do with you. Like, look at the reaction we had to prawn cocktail. I'm going prawn cocktail.
So where
here.
Are you going?
On the toilet, don't eliminate anything I like.
Phil, you have to vote on this one. Waffles or Walkers?
Prawn cocktail.
Oh!
That is a fucking sham.
That's why he walked
that
off.
Is a sham.
Waffles are out early. Holy shit. Big one. Oh, there is shock in the chat.
I only regularly probably eat maybe 3 packets of crisps, and waffles are one of them.
Not anymore. Well, you can still eat. we have Pringles salt and vinegar against Burger Bites.
Pringles salt and vinegar.
Easily.
I was going to go for Burger Bites. Phil's not here, so Pringles gets through again. Is this just going to be Pringles in every round?
Imagine.
The quarterfinals is just going to be Pringles.
Wait, you see, here's the thing. I wouldn't consider Pringles a crisp.
Oh, don't be like this.
Oh, like, we don't have the time. That's a whole different question.
Do you remember the little Pringles packets we got in school to bring Pringles to for your lunch?
No, I just ate the whole thing.
No? Okay. You used to get Pringle-shaped little lunch boxes. They were gas.
I know. I've seen them. I've seen pictures of them.
Tato Occasions Bacon Fries versus Pringles Sour Cream and Onion.
Pringles Sour Cream and Onion.
Pringles
Sour
Cream and Onion are winning this. They're winning
that's
this.
The
there's
best
no
flavor
one else that's
Pringles.
Gonna be Pringles.
Well, no. Well, next week we'll have Pringles Salt and Vinegar against... We'll have Pringles versus Pringles next week. Well,
no
so,
spoilers, but...
No. Say nothing. Keep it for next week. We got a Ford sale. O'Donnell's Mature Cheese and Red Onion against Kyo's Shamrock and Sour Cream.
What?
I don't eat either O'Donnell's or Kyo's, so...
I think I prefer sour cream over cheese and onion, so I'll just go with that one.
Okay, I'm going to go O'Donnell's.
I'll go with cheese
I've actually
onion.
Had that before. It is actually nice.
I don't know which one's cheese and onion, but I'll go with that.
Okay.
Is there a difference?
There is.
There are 2 different flavors and 2 different brands, so yes.
O'Donnell's.
I hope that's not a draw, because I'll change my vote if it's a draw. Like, I literally do not care about this round. Yeah.
Whatever, this is a job around. Like.
They're already in the ring. Like.
I'm the only one who has any strong opinions for O'Donnell's. If you guys want to go Kyo's just to get this over it, we can do that.
Oh, sorry, Kyo's is the other option. I'll go Kyo's.
Right, grand. Okay, so next up we have Perry Onion Rings versus Tato Salt and Vinegar. Another big one.
Tato Salt and Vinegar.
Tato Salt and Vinegar,
yeah.
Doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't. No, your opinion always matters, Phil.
It just doesn't affect the result at all.
No, anyway. It just actually does. Has no bearing. Okay, next up we have Velvet Crunch Salt and Vinegar against Hula Hoops Barbecue.
Hula Hoops Barbecue. Hula Hoops Barbecue. Let's go.
Hula Hoops Barbecue.
Hula Hoops Barbecue.
Right, so next up is Ripples against Hunky Dory Cheese and Onion. Hunky Dory's all
Hunky
day.
Hunky Dory Cheese and Onion.
Yeah. Like, this, and that's a favorite for
the
me.
The perfect sandwich accompaniment.
I'll go with Hunky Dory's. I'll go
Sorry.
That's like, that to me is one of the favorites.
Again, Rick, and they have to tell anyone else here. Is the Hunky Dory Buffalo in this?
I was literally about to say that. Hunky Dory's Buffalo.
That's a proper favorite.
That's a proper, yeah. Like, I wouldn't, like, there. She's the only one I'm kind of like, it's, sorry. I'm not really into it personally, but.
Walker's Max Cheese and Onion or Hula Hoop Salt and Vinegar.
Hula Hoop Salt and Vinegar.
Yeah, also.
Yeah.
I'm glad we have two Hula Hoops, you know, two Hula Hoops flavors and then in the next round.
We've made up for earlier on.
Waffles.
Okay, next up we have Walker Sensations. TSC or TNC, I don't know, against Walker's Baked Cheese and Onions. Thai Sweet Chili.
That makes sense. I'll go with the second one.
Cheese and Onion, yeah. Thai Sweet Chili Walkers or Cheese and Onion Walkers?
Thai Sweet Chili.
Baked Cheese and Onion or something, was it?
Yeah, I like Thai Sweet Chili as well. Yeah. What do we think in the chat, guys? Get your votes in. Thai Sweet Chili or Baked Cheese and Onion?
I like Thai Sweet Chili.
That's not how a chat works. Walker's is utter shite. Thanks. Very helpful in a Walker's versus Walker's clash.
Walker's are shite.
First person to give a vote here decides it. In the chat, baked. Okay, there we go. Baked cheese and onion goes through. Manhattan popcorn against Pringles barbecue. Oh!
Right, I will fight for this. Manhattan popcorn.
I don't eat Pringles barbecue.
Okay.
Pringles barbecue.
I'll
go with Pringles barbecue just because Katie went the other way, and also again I'll represent Pringles at any given opportunity from neutral. So
that is unfair. You don't even eat them.
Like, yeah, but I don't eat popcorn either. So
that's 2 years. Like Phil, I don't understand people don't eat popcorn. It's delicious. What do you eat in the cinema? What do you do? Just Pringles. Watch the film.
Pringles.
Katie, I'm going to try. I'm going to try your lifeline here, and I'm going to say Manhattan popcorn, which leaves it as a draw.
Ooh.
And there's already three people who voted for Manhattan in the chat.
Three outstanding humans.
We're a bit more on the same page with the chat now. We have not been cancelled for this yet. Give it time. Very early.
I love that popcorn isn't a crisp. You made the tournament.
Okay, this is next one up. We have Doritos Roulette against Rancheros.
Rancheros.
Oh my God, the match of the first round. This is heartbreaking. Because Rancheros, I was like, this has to be in it. I thought it would have been forgotten about, but Roulette is sexy. It's like sexy in the mouth.
I've never seen you eat Doritos in my life. I've never seen you eat Doritos. What are you talking about?
I'm going to go with Doritos because I feel like Rancheros are a bigger threat.
The risk of it. See, I have two things. Like, I love the risk of it. Like, I love putting in there, like, and just grabbing thing. And you can always tell, but you never look. Like, the whole point is never look. Put it in your mouth and you're going to get super spicy or not so super spicy. The other side of it is that my mama, back in the day, like, always
Mama
used to make
Boyd.
Me, always used to make me Ranchero sandwiches, like, bit of bread, bit of butter.
It's a weird sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very weird sandwich.
Weird sandwich, which is
the texture of that is just, you can never feel comfortable.
Ranchero sandwiches.
Okay, Rancheros go through just about.
Ranchero sandwiches.
That's, yeah. I don't like how you got there, but I do like the end result. So. How did the roof of your mouth not cave in? Like?
That is so much carb in one bite. Like, that is just so much.
We have Tato Treble Crunch against Snacks.
Snacks
all day, yeah. One second. I'm just writing that in. Next up, we have Wheelies against Hunky Dory Sour Cream and Onion.
Wheelies.
Hunky Dory.
Hunky Dory's.
Oh, fuck off. They're not even a good Hunky Dory's. They're the sour cream and onion.
I like the sour cream and onion. I'm into it.
The buffalo are the good ones. Everything else.
Yeah, Wheelies.
Okay, so we're tied for the chat. First person to get in. You know Wheelies. Jimmy votes. Jimmy gets it. Wheelies go through.
Legend.
That is arguably a shock. But
I fucking love Wheelies. They're up there for me. Probably
it does make it more variable. I wouldn't like if it was just the same brands getting through. It'd get boring. So
Wheelies are technically Tato as well, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Exact same. Velvet Crunch, Cheese and Onion, or Pop Chips Barbecue? I have no opinion on either of them.
Cheese and onion, because it's good on it. Oh no, hang on, that's the wrong one. What am I looking at?
Velvet Crunch, Cheese and Onion, or Pop Chips Barbecue?
I prefer cheese and onion as a flavor. So, like, if that's what it comes down to, do either of you have a strong opinion?
I don't really know what either of them are. I'll say the cheese and onion one.
Pop Chips, what are they?
No idea.
Do you remember those ones that were like French fries?
Chipsticks.
Chipsticks. It's not them.
No, it's not them, no.
Oh, well, go Velvet. Crunch, cheese, and onion.
Velvet Crunch it is, just by being cheese and onion. What is Velvet Crunch? What am I missing here? Next up we have... Oh, this is tough.
This is a contender in this one right now.
Chickadees against Dorito Chili Heatwave.
Chickadees.
Easy.
Oh, this is the buttons of the tournament. Fuck's sake, I can see it coming a mile off.
We eat children's crisps.
Yes,
as well as children's
you're just
chocolate.
Children. You are just children.
I would go Doritos there.
I'll go Doritos too.
That's the flagship of Doritos. Like,
all right, you know what to do.
Okay, guys, chat, it's all up to you. Doritos, Hanley gets in. Oh, thank God. Oh, it was everyone. Chickadees will always be the wrong answer. Okay.
Hang on, what is going on here?
Doritos, man. Doritos are amazing. Look, you'll forget about chickadees. You get over it.
It wasn't, to be fair.
It was, like, to be fair, like, in another life I'd have voted chickadees, but we're not in that life. Right, Tato cheese and onion against Watsits. Easy.
Wait, say again.
Tato cheese and onion, Watsits.
Oh, Tato cheese and onion.
What? Phil, like, are you trying to out-tan me here?
Watsits, like, class.
Are you a king?
Love the one about bread.
Why do you eat all these crystal sandwiches?
Stop eating your weird sandwiches.
Like, we've lived together for 6 years. I've never seen him eat a crisp sandwich in my life.
I don't eat a crisp sandwich because I'm an adult. Right, but I'm going back to my childhood here. My childhood's feelings. That's where my feelings died.
All right. So Nordy Tato against Pringles Ready Salted.
Nordy Tato's a... Fucking the Nori Tail Man's a pedo, man. I can't stand
him. this is just a troll keen discussion.
I can't stand him, honestly. We established my hatred for this man before, so I'm gonna go against him no matter what. It is Pringles again, Ready Salted, not my favorite flavor of Pringles, but
I like Ready Salted. That'd probably be the one I'd reach for.
What,
yeah. Ready?
Yeah. What,
yeah,
of course you would.
Ready Salted is your chosen flavor of Pringles.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
So, like, sour cream and onion would be right there and you'd pick up a Ready Salted.
Yeah, it's too much sour cream and onion. If you put sour cream and onion in front of me on a table, I'd be quite happy to pick at it. Do you know what I mean? But if I had a whole tube of it, it's like, God, it's too much. I'd get sick of it halfway through.
Can I put an honorable mention out there for Pringles that's been discontinued as far as I can see? Ready's sweet chili and lime. Loved it.
That's like, just far too exotic for
I
you.
Loved it. I had it for about 6 months. I used to buy it all the time. They discontinued it. And I haven't been able to open up a packet of Pringles since. Like, just...
Is anyone going for Nordy Tato here?
No.
Okay, Pringles it is. Snack-A-Jack salt and vinegar against Manhattan cheese popcorn.
Cheese popcorn.
Yeah, same.
The other one.
Bill?
I hate popcorn. Sorry.
Okay, so someone in the chat...
Oh, sorry. I'm speaking to the microphone.
Someone say popcorn.
Popcorn
Thank
wins.
You.
Pub Scampi Fries against McCoy's Flame Grilled Steak.
Scampi Fries.
Scampi Fries.
Do you like Scampi Fries?
No, but I don't like the other one either.
Scampi Fries are nice. Scampi Fries are underrated.
I love Scampi Fries.
Yeah. Darts player, definitely do. Doritos Tangy Cheese. Oh! This is a heavyweight battle.
Jesus.
Doritos Tangy Cheese. Or... Chipsticks.
Chipsticks.
Doritos.
Chipsticks.
Oh!
Chipsticks are like a dawn of crisps.
Doritos Tangy Cheese gone in the first round. That is an absolute shocker.
When you've had Chili Heatwave, Like that cheesy Dorito thing just doesn't cut her life.
Palm Bears cheese and onion, O'Donnell's Ballymahoo relish and cheddar cheese.
I will fight to the death for Palm Bears. I love them.
I would argue that O'Donnell's relish and cheese is delicious. Like, so I will have that. Thank you.
My line of thinking, because again, I have no opinion on this, but I'm going to go with what Rick said earlier about having like different brands and different kind of crisps in there. I think O'Donnell's are true already, aren't they?
Probably.
They probably are. Don't answer, because if you say no, that muddies the waters.
Yeah, they so are.
I'm going to pretend they are.
I would say that that brand of O'Donnell's is the flagship brand.
I'd say I don't care because Palm Bears are class.
I don't want to side with Katie, but I do feel like I probably will on this one. I just think, I don't know. You see, again, like it's a flagship, but to me that means nothing. You know what I mean? Because I'm not familiar with O'Donnell's and I'll probably forget that it's a flagship come the next round. So I'm going to go with Palm Bears. Yeah, fuck it.
Oh, everybody, look, Kane and Katie are best friends.
No, we're changing it.
I go O'Donnell's, which ties it up. So, guys, we have...
Come on, Palm Bears, Palm Bears. Some of these
Palm Bears go through.
Yeah. Love Palm Bears.
Okay, next up, we are nearly done with the first round. We have Mighty Munch, formerly Monster Munch, against Kettle Salt and Vinegar.
Mighty Munch.
Yeah, easy. That's
a squash match in exactly, 6 seconds.
Yeah, this is it. That is the Ultimate Warrior against the Brooklyn Brawler. This is another easy one for me. Doritos Cool Original or Skips? Skips all day.
Yeah.
That's one of the favorites. But next week, there's a few heavyweight matchups on the line. Last two rounds, we have Tato Smoky Bacon against King Cheese and Onion. Oh, that's a tricky
smoky
one.
Smoky Bacon.
King Cheese and Onion.
I love a bit of Smoky Bacon, but you can't rule out King Cheese and Onion first round. No way.
Has to go through. Yeah, King Cheese and Onion can't.
You owe it that respect, you know what I mean?
Another Brit choice from Phil Boyd.
Okay, I think we've messed this draw up. I'll worry about that after. And last but not least, the last one. What was the one you said had to be in it?
Remember?
Okay, it is Pringles Prawn Cocktail against Hunky Dory Buffalo.
Oh, Hunky Dory Buffalo.
Ooh, like, controversial.
It's weird because I like Prawn Cocktail. Obviously, Pringles are my chosen brand of choice, but Hunky Dory Buffalo, like, if there's no Pringles in the shop, what do I buy? Or if my flavor of Pringles is there, what do I buy? Hunky Dory's Buffalo. So... That's what it's going to be.
I always knew Kane was my spirit animal. Hunky Dory Buffalo. The absolute favorite. The 4-6 shot to win this whole thing.
And there we have it. The first round. We'll have the second round next week on the show, guys. But for now, I need to figure out the brackets because I've forgotten one. And yeah, I don't know who's facing who for next week. I'll have that sorted by then.
Right.